Steve Topple, writer for the Canary, Corbyn supporter, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Well, I'm almost done after my marathon election broadcasting.
How am I still awake?
This is great. Now, the voice you're hearing, as per usual, is Mr. John Holmes, who never waits to be introduced. He's arrived on Conscious Green. Again, at least you weren't here for the rain. I don't know how I'm still awake. Coca-Cola, I think the entire show has been sponsored by everyone here on College Green. Well, we just obviously heard from Theresa May. You'll be taking through the show throughout the afternoon. It is an absolutely extraordinary day, isn't it?
Well, it is, and we continue the coverage throughout the afternoon, as you rightly say, till 4 o'clock, really. A lot of guests coming in, a lot of correspondence, a lot of things going on. We are here live from College Green in the shadow of Big Ben, so all good.
We are indeed. Indeed, the helicopters at least have moved along since Theresa May
I moved that on.
Did you? Thank you. I assume that's how you'd arrive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
obviously.
Well, all the coverage, all the reaction, of course, it's very clear Theresa May ain't going anywhere yet. Certainly that. I'll be back with you Monday morning at 10 o'clock, assuming we've still got a country and a government and goodness knows what. John Holmes with you from 1 o'clock with more great, fantastic guests, giving all the analysis, all the reaction to that announcement from Theresa May that she is going to be forming the next government. This is Talk Radio. Do stay tuned.
Never mind the ballots. Join the conversation party. Election 2017, live on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The life of a van driver, a life of surprises, a life we chose without compromises.
We're a bit different, more than just a van. Not all bacon sarnies and right arm tans.
Days unique, sights ever-changing. Freedom, flexibility, jobs wide-ranging.
A life on the road, one without strife. We're van drivers. This is our van life.
Live your van life in the new multi-award-winning Toyota ProAce. What van like commercial vehicle of the year 2017? On contract hire at £199 per month. Toyota, always a better way. ProAce Comfort Medium 1.1695 DIN HP. Available on contract hire at £199 per month over 3 years. Initial rental £1,194. Business users over 18 only. Excluding VAT of 20%. Conditions apply.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the
trade go. At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade-quality building products. In June, we've got 100 by 32 millimetre grooved easy deck board for only 99 pence per metre ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
My thing, my abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing. It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Oh, yes. Ooh. Mrs. Wren says she's had a Midsummer Night's Dream. She dreamt that in June, all Wren kitchens are half price, with an extra 20% off. And a Neff dishwasher for just £179 when you buy five or more units. Ah, but then she woke up. And it was all true! All's well that ends well, eh, Mrs. Wren? So, fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
Talk Radio in the afternoons. Good afternoon. I am John Holmes. We're live from College Green, across from the Houses of Parliament. Of course, bringing you all of the election analysis as the afternoon continues. Ahead of that, here's Victoria with the news now.
Thanks, John. Coming up, a Tory DUP government.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May is going to stay on as Prime Minister.
I will now form a government. A government that can provide certainty and lead Britain forward at this critical time for our country.
The Conservatives are joining forces with the Democratic Unionist Party after a disastrous snap election, which has robbed the Tories of their overall majority in the House of Commons. Tory peer Lord Lamont says he thinks the coalition will work.
When you look back in history, I mean, minority governments, the Callaghan government, propped up by the Liberals, lasted much longer than people thought, and I don't see why this shouldn't last longer than people are saying. People are saying, oh, it'll just be a matter of weeks, months. I think it could go on.
But Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron isn't so sure and has used the Prime Minister's own phrases against her.
We will now have a government that is weaker and less stable at a time when we are about to embark on the most difficult and complex negotiations in our history. Theresa May promised strong and stable leadership. She has brought weakness and uncertainty.
Well, Jeremy Corbyn has described the Tories as the losers and even called on Theresa May to resign as Prime Minister earlier. While UKIP's Paul Nuttall has stood down as leader after failing to secure any seats, the SNP has been left with 21 fewer MPs, but Nicola Sturgeon insists the party will try to play its part in finding the right way forward for the UK. The European Commission's president says he hopes Brexit negotiations won't be delayed by the result 10 days before negotiations are due to get underway. And there's going to be a third count in the final seat to be declared, Kensington. That's going to take place at around 6 p.m. once staff have had some rest.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Cloudy of rain for Scotland, sunny spells and scattered showers elsewhere, highs of 21 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. We'll start with tennis. Andy Murray's playing for a place in the final of the French Open for a second year in a row. He's up against Stan Wawrinka in the last four, the very man he beat at this stage last year. A close first set on Philippe Chatrier. Murray trails 5-4 in the first set, with full commentary over on Talk Sport 2. Hull have appointed former Russia boss Leonid Slutsky as their new head coach. He replaces Marco Silva, who left to take over at Watford following Hull's relegation from the Premier League. Slutsky resigned as boss of CSKA Moscow in December after 7 years in charge. New Zealand and Bangladesh are in action in the Champions Trophy, knowing whoever loses will go out. A win for either side in Cardiff might not be enough, though, if Australia beats England in Talk Sports live commentary game tomorrow. Finally, Britain's Lewis Hamilton will look to keep the pressure on championship leader Sebastian Vettel ahead of this weekend's Canadian F1 Grand Prix. The first two practice sessions before Sunday's race take place this afternoon. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
At More Than, we've learned that understanding your pet is tricky. For example, actually means my litter tray, my poo, give it back. It's even harder to understand them when they're sick. So More Than Pet Insurance comes with Vetphone, a 24/7 free-to-call health advice line. Plus, new customers get 25% off online now. We do more than.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Previously on British politics.
The British people decide our future in Europe.
We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds.
Education, education, and education.
We made a pledge, we didn't stick to it, and for that I am sorry.
Scotland has voted no.
With what?
The ladies not for turning.
How dare I say such a horrible thing?
This country is at war with Germany.
Maybe Dodgy Dave will answer it now.
I think the people in this country have had enough of experts.
To go to the palace and offer my resignation.
The government should call a general election to be held on the 8th of June.
Step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop.
I apologize to mugwumps everywhere.
John Holmes.
We are all sinners.
The outstanding development of the 20th century.
I think that Natalie's absolutely right.
Strong and stable leadership.
John Holmes. John Holmes.
For the many, not the few.
When I am mounted on a journey.
So, good afternoon to you then, and welcome. I am John Holmes. This is Talk Radio live across the UK from College Green. Now, for balance, we should also say College Conservatives, of course, College Labour, College UKIP, and College Others. Except, of course, we have to be balanced no longer. So here we are then with you, bringing all of the election latest between now and 4 o'clock. Grasping our way through an extraordinary day. Let me of us grasping, like, I don't know if you've seen that viral gif of Jeremy Corbyn grasping Emily Thornberry's breast in an awkward high-five malfunction. He doesn't appear to get a very good grasp on it at all, and to be honest, quite the opposite, it appears, of the way he fought his election campaign, which he did seem to get a grasp on, we know now. And Jeremy Corbyn has said today that he is ready to serve. Ready to serve. Much like we're hearing, by the way, Paul Nuttall, now he's quit UKIP and will probably end up with a job in McDonald's. Although, you know, French fries, so bloody Europe, so maybe not. Anyway, if Paul Nuttall announces his next job during the programme, we will, of course, let you know. So here we are then, a hung parliament, no overall majority Britain, effectively voting for none of the above. You'll have heard Theresa May just before the news making that speech, of course. She walked back into number 10, still the Prime Minister. I'll give her till about Thursday, I think. But it's the day after the main event, of course, Election Boxing Day. How was it for you? Did you have the traditional election day? I mean, personally, I love the festivities. I did it on Wednesday evening, of course. I put out a mince pie and a glass of sherry and a row about immigration for all of the candidates. Election Eve, wasn't it? Yesterday, I woke up like you did to find that Father Election had been and left me a voting booth and a little pencil. Hashtag reindeers at polling station. In our house, we had the traditional dinner, of course, a lame duck candidate with all the trimming. Today, the leftovers as we pick through the bones of all of it all to bring you this afternoon's delicious broadcasting soup with a side order of Jeremy Vine leaves. Of course, our vine leaves are stuffed with embarrassing graphics. Have you got the whole family over today? It's election boxing day, as I said. You know, you're just sitting around too full of campaigning and empty political rhetoric to move. Wearing those paper masks of politicians' faces. That's traditional, isn't it? We've all been doing it. Earlier, before I left to come here, my granddad, sleeping in his armchair in the lounge, was wearing a paper mask of the Green Party's Caroline Lucas. Fallen asleep in the armchair after our election Boxing Day lunch, and Granddad, he was wearing that mask and he farted in his sleep as well. How we all laughed at the irony of that, of farting while wearing the face of Caroline Lucas. You know, given the Green Party's concerns about the environment, honestly, we fell about it. And then there was Granny, of course, who was wearing a mask of Paul Nuttall, formerly of UKIP. And Granny said something racist while wearing it. To be fair, Granny normally says racist things anyway. Let us know what you're up to on your election Boxing Day. So what have we got coming for you on today's well-hung programme? Why, frankly, loads of it. It's an election special. Naturally, we'll be doing the usual stuff, but tenuously linking it to all of your election needs. And if that's not a strong and stable programme, then, very simply, we'll consider a U-turn at any point we deem necessary. So what's on the way then? Well, Headline Hijack is, of course, that's the usual, isn't it? Headline Hijack. That's where you get to make up a news story and we insert it into the news at 2 p.m. The 2 p.m. bulletin where Victoria says the news, but in there will be a news lie. You get to make it up. It's 87 treble 2.
Start your message with the word talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
Any word you'd like. There is our election special. A possible paper review, we might get round to that, who knows. It depends what happens in the unfolding afternoon. Whether we unfold the papers or not remains to be seen. There's the big debate at 3, that stays. There's bonus election news. And we bring you live up-to-the-minute music today with comedian Mitch Benn, who's written an election-based song. Still writing it. It's going to be on air between 3.30 and 4. Plus, with guests in mind, we will be talking to MPs, to ex-MPs, to commentators, to young people and so forth. Lembit Opik joins us in the Talk Radio gazebo here live from College Green this afternoon. Talk Radio correspondents are out and about. We'll be running an obituary for MPs who've lost their seats. former Tory, former Labour, former UKIP, former Green, now independent MP Magnus Turner will be joining us to talk through the events of now. Alex Dibble, Talk Radio's reporter Alex Dibble, who you will be familiar with, he was up all night here, will be joining us this afternoon from his bed. He's gone home to bed, but that's not stopped him broadcasting. He's going to be with us, giving us a live report from his bed. Plus, paid intern Cornelius is here throughout the afternoon. Now, you were up all night as well, of course.
I was, yeah.
Doing Talk Radio's Twitter account.
Yeah, yeah, political editor.
Political editor.
In chief.
And later this afternoon, he's going to be attempting to get into the background of as many TV shots. We're live on College Green, as I say. And the world's media's cameras are down here. I'm looking at them now from out of our gazebo. And every time Cornelius manages to get into... Look, I've got this. Every time you manage to get into the background of a TV shot... Right, let me just find the... I've got a thing that's going to come in really useful, I hope, if I can find it.
This is Talk Radio election coverage where a man is going through his rucksack.
Look, I've got...
Oh, you got a little bell.
Every time you get into the background of somebody else's shot, like Sky News or the BBC or ITV or Bloomsburg, whoever it might be, I'm going to ring a little bell like that just to... Anyway, that's going to be your job mostly this afternoon. So all to come then. We're live on College Green. Back in the studio, Asprod Cass is still through the glass. Hello, Cass.
Yeah.
Chloe's on the buttons. Hello, Chloe.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Victoria there. Victoria's on the news back in the studio. Hi, Victoria.
She's gone.
Talk Radio in the afternoons. I am...
She's resigned.
John Hurst. She's lost her seat.
Yeah.
Fine. So Victoria has stood down. That is the news. So, yes, we will be bringing you many guests, much insight, much discussion, much analysis of today's extraordinary events, of course. But first of all, we need to get to today's big story. You know how we do that if you're a regular listener. We do it through the medium of music. Today is no different. See if you can work out the big story. It's very complicated, this one.
Oh.
See if you can work out today's big story from this. It's the big song. It gets us into today's big story. It's quite a tricky one, Cornelius. I know you've been working it out, trying to work out what the song is from that. What have you managed to figure out?
Is it something to do with this press Glastonbury we're at?
Yeah, it is like a press Glastonbury.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the world's media is here, and they're all drunk. And it's quite a spectacular sight. I'm looking over at main stage now.
Can you see that man there? There's a reporter who's wearing a very formal upper sort of half.
He is, isn't he?
And just below is just bootleg jeans.
Yeah, that's...
He may as well be in his pants.
That is ridiculous. But, of course, what you're getting, is if you're watching this on television and you've seen any of this on television, of course, is a sort of mid-to-head shot of reporters. Mm. You're absolutely right. But it doesn't matter what they wear downstairs, does it?
Yeah, he may as well have it out.
Yeah, he may as well just be letting it hang free here at College Green, frankly. He's wearing trainers and some scratty old jeans, but from the top he looks smart. That's the way. I'm frankly just in some trunks, some tight speedos, and I think that's what the public want, and I'm happy to have that as my just as my look for the election analysis, really, if I'm honest.
Is it the general election?
Yes, it is, Cornelius. Well done. That was Alice Cooper and elected. Congratulations, that was what the story was, and indeed is. So, we need to, one of the big stories, I think it's absolutely fascinating, is my home seat, right? I live in Canterbury in Kent. And that has been a Tory seat for over 100 years. Julian Brazier, Sir Julian Brazier, has been the MP, the Tory MP down there for so long. It was considered the one of the safest seats in the country, totally unmovable. Last night, ousted by Labour. The reason, they say, is because 8,000 students, new students, quite a student city, Canterbury, it's got the University of Kent, of course, Christchurch College, and so on and so forth, 8,000 students registered to vote this time. It seems that they have changed history. So what we're going to do, and I don't think anyone else has done this yet, there's been a lot of political commentators, a lot of MPs on, but what nobody has done is talk to the young people who seem to have influenced this vote and got Corbyn the level of success that he has. So we're going to do that next. We're going to talk to a student called Stuart. Student Stuart, he's going to be talking to us. He voted Labour, and he's changed history. We'll talk to him next on Talk Radio in the afternoons. We are live from College Green. I'm John Holmes.
The mother of all radio stations. Election 2017, live on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
At Honda, we've put a lot of our best thinking into the Jazz. So when it scored over 9 out of 10 on Revue for quality, practicality and features, we took it as a challenge. How to improve on what we think is the best small car money can buy? How about making it the best small car that slightly less money can buy? Until June 30th, you can own the Jazz for £199 a month with a £199 deposit and 4 years 0% APR. If you give that idea full marks, visit honda.co.uk/jazz199 for details. Terms and conditions apply. Final payment £4,403.07.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space. I did very little, and I got some money back. It was awesome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Show your superhero how much you love him this Father's Day. At The Perfume Shop, we have some amazing offers on big brands like Boss Bottled Night 200 millilitres for only $39.99. Visit us in-store or take advantage of our super-fast delivery available online at theperfumeshop.com. The Perfume Shop, celebrating 25 years of scenting the high street. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in-store for details.
Get even more from Selco Builders Warehouse this June with our Mega Drill Giveaway. On top of our massive stocks of trade products at great trade prices, you could be the lucky winner of a Makita drill at every branch every weekday. That's right, at every Selco branch every weekday in June, we're giving away a Makita drill to a lucky customer. So get straight down to Selco Builders Warehouse now for a massive range of building materials and your chance to win in our Mega Drill Giveaway. See selcobw.com for terms and conditions.
Selco, it's where the
trade
go.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Popham in Hampshire, the A303 eastbound has been closed due to police incident just as you approach the M3 junction 8 at Andover. Buckinghamshire, the M40 London bound, there's a lane closed due to an accident between junction 3 for High Wycombe and junction 2 for Beaconsfield. In Lancashire, the M6 northbound, slow traffic due to an earlier accident between 32 and 33 for Goldgate. And the M1 southbound in Derbyshire, the lane closed on the entry slip road due to a broken down lorry at junction 29 for Chesterfield. I'm Paul Jenkins.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Talk Radio. 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Eyes down for a rearranged house.
Election 2017, live on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Talk Radio. We are live from College Green. Here's the noise of College Green. It's a hub of activity, as you can hear. We're in the Talk Radio gazebo. I didn't even know we had a gazebo, but I'm quite impressed with it. We're never going to need this again. So we can hide this out for weddings.
I don't know. I think there's going to be another election next week.
Oh, you're right. So, better hang on to it. So we'll hold the wedding booking. Now, what is very interesting, of course, about today's big story is this. As Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons once said, "Oh, what a night, early June 2017. I'm paraphrasing, but anyway. Some big political hitters are now out of their seats. Alex Salmond, of course, in Scotland, former leader of the Lib Dems and practical joke played on Heather Mills by Paul McCartney, once Nick Clegg, has gone. Miscalculations, they're saying, of course, of calling a snap election in the first place, and that could end up with Theresa May losing her seat. She hasn't yet. She's come out, she's spoken, she's said, she's walked back into number 10, she's still there at the moment. How long it lasts, we don't know. In her words, though, it's supposed to be stability that was going to be the important thing, but quite the opposite has happened. Obviously, the whole thing's confused Donald Trump. He's already tweeted his congratulations to the Hung Party. But importantly, last night in Canterbury, as I mentioned before, this is my hometown. So this is the seat that, and I was a student in Canterbury years ago, I still live there, one of the safest seats in Britain. Sir Julian Brazier was the Tory seat down there. Last night he lost his seat to Labour for the first time. The Tories don't hold Canterbury in over 100 years, and his face was quite a picture, I can tell you, on the BBC News last night. I want to talk to Stuart because he's on the telephone. Hi, Stuart.
Hello, John.
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for joining us. Now, Stuart, you are a student in Canterbury. That's right, isn't it? And you, you voted Labour. You've changed history, Stuart. How does that feel?
Yes, yeah. Well, great. I mean, the vote turnout was, I think, about 72%, so it's very high.
Mm. And they're saying, because there was, I think, 8,000 students, or certainly young people between 18 and 25, registered to vote during the run-up to this election. Were you one of them, Stuart, or were you already registered?
I was already registered, thankfully, from the Brexit vote, the referendum.
Oh, okay, fine. So that's what got your interest. That's interesting as well, actually. And were you expecting, I mean, you voted for Jeremy Corbyn. Why did you, what was it about, I mean, how old are you, Stuart? Sorry, how old are you?
I'm 22.
22, all right, yes. Okay, right in the middle of the demographic. So how did Corbyn influence your vote then? What was it about it?
Well, it's quite a number of things, really. For me, the most important thing is I do a lot of volunteer work in the local court, and we have a lot of people coming to us on very low incomes, and just to see the effect the cuts have had on them and how that's affected their access to justice. So you've got people who can't necessarily read or write. Sorry, hello?
Yeah. Yeah, we can still hear you. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, that's okay. And they can't necessarily read or write.
All right.
But they're expected to appear in court and argue their case for their home or their benefits, and they can't do it.
All right, we're starting to lose Stuart's line a bit there. What we're going to do is bring in Eve Potter, former editor of the Sunday Mirror and The Express, of course. Hello, Eve.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Have you
been up all night?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, you're looking good on it.
Thank you.
You're looking
lots
a lot better
makeup
than most of the people around about past. So what do you make of this? I mean, Canterbury's a really interesting thing, I think.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, we lost Stuart's line there a bit, because one of the things about Canterbury is that the phone signal's rubbish.
Sure.
But what do you make of that? Because, I mean, that's, I mean, we're absolutely talking about it broadly, but focusing in on that particular seat, I think that's quite a fascinating insight into the whole thing.
Well, and Kensington.
And
it's
yes,
even more
indeed,
extraordinary. Mrs. May was busy going to Wales and busy thinking that she was going to change people in the north, and I see that Wales and the north rewarded her by not producing Tory MPs.
Indeed.
I mean, in fact, this was an extraordinary election where she upset her normal voters, older people, so she cut off the fuel allowance, she put in the so-called dementia tax.
Yes.
And frankly, there was nothing very special for young people. And I think what is really exciting is that young people are obviously motivated.
Yeah.
I think Brexit probably started it,
as
they
said,
did
yeah,
with
yeah,
Stuart.
Yeah.
And then they've had the vote, they've got the vote. And I think that the manifesto, the Tory manifesto, was a very, very big disappointment, a disaster.
Mm.
And the fact that then she didn't follow up by going to see the people who would have been most loyal, the people that had been loyal to her party for years, as you say, 100 years, I think more or less made them say, well, if she can't be bothered to come to us, why should we bother to vote for her? I mean, that's a very normal, you know, behaviour. The other truth is that there has been the feeling all along, even though all the Tory papers have been loyal to her all the way through, that that manifesto was created by a small group of people.
Yes. Well, the author of it, in fact, has lost his seat.
Well, he has. Well, he's one of the authors of it. And my feeling is that the Cabinet, had they been consulted, would have immediately gone, you can't do that. You absolutely can't do that. And so this is doubly, I'm afraid, of the Prime Minister's making. She called the election and she had a manifesto that she hadn't really discussed. Mm. And now I'm afraid it's very difficult, and I sympathise with her, because she ran a huge office of state. You can do that with a small group. You cannot be Prime Minister and not take the Cabinet with you.
Yeah.
You may not take them all. Very few Prime Ministers have had everyone behind them. But you've got to bring them and the party behind you.
Yeah.
You've got to be more open.
How's she going to do that now, though? Because obviously she's not resigning. She's saying she's not resigning.
No, she's saying she's not resigning, but I think it's going to be very tough for her. She's going to be on a trapeze wire. I mean, I don't think she can just throw out the people she was thinking before that she might throw out, because the party will just say, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Give people a chance. She's going to have to please the DUP.
Well, yes.
She's going to have to also, in some way, convince people that she's going to stop running the country with this small group of people that she's been used to. And the people she's going to have to convince with very strongly are the press, because the press are going to be watching. And I'm afraid, once you've had something as damaging as this, and it has been very damaging, she must look back, dream about having a majority of 12, which she had 7 weeks ago.
How influential is the press still in this day and age? Because obviously, a lot of this now is fought on social media.
Of course.
Especially with young people, as we were talking to Stuart.
They all
do it on themselves, don't
they? They do it on themselves, but you know, it's very interesting. I've worked in radio and I've been lucky enough to work in TV. Any conference you ever go to in either of those places, people come in having torn bits out of newspapers.
Yes.
You know, so newspapers are obviously often the beginning, just the beginning. Then it spreads, then it changes. And of course, that's the other thing. Why weren't the Tories so good on social media as Labour? I mean, these are the you know, we have lots and lots of very clever entrepreneurs who joined the Tory party in this business, in technology. Why weren't they called upon? Why weren't they used?
Just before we have to go to the news in a moment, but I just want to talk, you mentioned the DUP, of course, and the smart money is that they're going to have to get into bed, if you like.
Well,
she's said that, more or less, outside number 10. She's got to make the call and work that negotiation out. But the DUP, we know the reason she's having to go there, but
sure.
But they're controversial, aren't they? I mean, they're opposed to same-sex marriage and anti-abortion. You know,
it's a tricky sell to the British public. It's going to be a trapeze wire act.
Yeah.
And how long it can go for, who knows? And also, the other thing last night was, if you look at the places that were about not leaving the common market, not leaving the EU, they were the ones who were the most against hard Brexit and most against the Tory party.
Indeed.
So you can see that it's coming out slowly.
And in terms of the Brexit negotiations, which are days away officially, that's going to move probably as a date. We can assume if the negotiations go on and so forth. But hard Brexit's off the table now, isn't it? Because she hasn't got the majority to put that.
Well, the only terrible, I think hard Brexit is off the table. I always wondered why it was on the table, frankly.
Yeah.
But of course, you're going to deal with the Europeans who know they've got a weaker person to deal with. They've got someone who's slightly more hidebound, who hasn't got this huge mandate.
So it sets
which is
us all
what
right
you
back,
want.
Essentially.
We are all in a very tricky position.
Listen, Eve, thank you very much for joining us.
Hang on to the gazebo.
Oh, yeah, please. Anyone you see going back, if the wind gets up, I'm going to get you back in here just to hold it down, if that's all right. Eve Pollard, thank you very much for talking to us. And that was Stuart as well, on the line from Canterbury there, where he and his student kind, really, have changed history. 8,000 students registering, or young people anyway, registering to vote, a huge student population down there, have ousted Julian Brazier, who's been there, not him been there, I mean, I don't think he's that old, I mean, I know he's old, but he's not that old, he's not over 100, but the seat certainly
he's
was.
He's been there 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's a Labour seat. We tried to get Rosie Duffield, who is the new Labour candidate, on the programme, but she hasn't responded to any of my messages. And I even offered to take her a cup of tea in Fenix in Canterbury, which is quite a posh cafe.
Yeah.
So, and she still hasn't got back to me. Anyway, that's politics, isn't it? Other stuff coming. Of course there is. We'll do Headline Hijack after the news. And we'll bring you some more guests. So that's what we're going to be doing, as we analyse the extraordinary events in Westminster as we sit here in a gazebo in the shadow of Big Ben. Talk Radio, in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the news headlines on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May says the Conservatives joining up with Northern Ireland's Democratic Unionists will ensure a successful Brexit deal.
Securing a new partnership with the EU which guarantees our long-term prosperity. That's what people voted for last June. That's what we will deliver Now let's get to work.
The election the Prime Minister called just over 7 weeks ago has resulted in a hung parliament instead of the stronger Tory majority she'd been hoping for. While the SNP lost 21 MPs, including party heavyweights Alex Salmond and Angus Robertson, after they both lost their seats. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has hit out at the Tories.
They were so arrogant that they thought they could do anything and simply get away with it. And now they're planning to cobble together an unstable administration, causing yet more damaging uncertainty.
Meanwhile, Labour, which had been written off by critics as all but unelectable, surged to 261 seats. That's up 29 from the 2015 election. Former London Mayor Ken Livingstone, who's currently suspended from the party, has told Talk Radio the result will see Labour finally uniting behind Jeremy Corbyn.
What this election's done is put Jeremy firmly in control of the party. And a lot of those embittered old Blairites who've spent the last 18 months undermining him have got to come to terms with that, and I think they will.
The European Commission's president says he hopes talks on Brexit won't be delayed. They're due to start in just 10 days. But Jean-Claude Juncker says they're ready now and could open negotiations tomorrow morning at 9:30. The weather cloudy with rain for Scotland, sunny spells and scattered showers elsewhere with highs of 21 degrees is more in half an hour.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, John.
Hi there, Vo.
How's the gazebo?
Hey, you know what? You could hold, you know, Chloe, as we know. Hi, Chloe. Hi, Chloe, behind the glass.
Hi, John.
Hi. You're getting married, aren't you?
Am I?
Yes, soon.
Yeah.
Do you need a venue at all? Because we've got a Talk Radio gazebo that we're sitting in, and it's fairly roomy. You get about six people in here.
Mm. Yeah, I'll see if Sam can get the afternoon off work.
There you go. She's marrying Sam Delaney, just to be clear.
Oh, okay. Victoria,
how's everything back in the hub of the news there?
Oh,
an exciting news day.
It's been a bit frantic. Between 12:30 and 1, obviously waiting for the Prime Minister to make her statement, my bulletin, which I'd started writing, completely changed.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Keeping you busy. However, that's not going to let you off bonus news today, of course, which comes at 3:30.
What have you got in mind?
Bonus election news.
Okay.
That's what we're doing today.
Okay.
So we normally do animal, vegetable and mineral, as you know. But today's going to be bonus election news, so we look forward to that, Victoria. Thank you very much. Headline hijack on the way as well with Victoria at 2 o'clock. Next, we're going to be talking to Talk Radio's expert roving reporter, Alex Dibble, live from his bed. He's been up all night, but he's still reporting. He reports in his sleep, if I'm honest. We'll do it next on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on the hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
It's going to be awesome.
Late Night Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Happy election Boxing Day. Obviously, we're sitting down here among picking through the bones to make a delicious radio soup out of
soup.
Out of the election.
Do you mean sandwich?
No, soup off like you do on Boxing Day. Not make a delicious soup on.
I make a delicious sandwich. This isn't important.
No, it's not. Anyway, it's a metaphor that you chose to extend wrongly there, in my opinion. Anyway, here we are. We're live from College Green. I am looking now out of the Talk Radio gazebo, which I have to say is a lot more snazzy than other people's gazebos. I've seen the LBC one, and it's poor compared to ours. Whereas this is decorated with the Talk Radio logo quite spectacularly. There's no doubt about who we are and what we're doing here. There's even a Talk Radio umbrella. Just the one. There's a budget issue. Anyway, doesn't matter. Speaking of budget issues, Talk Radio's roving reporter, Alex Dibble, has been up all night. And I mean all night. And he's been reporting all night as well. And he's on the line right now because he doesn't ever stop reporting. Hello, Alex Dibble.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. I should say that Alex Dibble has been up all night and has gone home and is now reporting actually from his bed. So I don't know how up to date he's going to be with what is going on, given that he has been up. How many hours were you up, Alex?
Well, I got up at like 8:30 or 9 o'clock yesterday morning.
Yep.
And then I went to sleep at about midday. Right. So 27 or 26 or something hours.
Good, good. Yeah. And how are you? Are you keeping, as Talk Radio's reporter, are you across? I mean, during your sleep, have you picked up anything interesting?
Well, because I haven't been conscious while I've been asleep, I haven't picked up as much information as I usually do.
I can tell you the big news is Theresa May's resigned.
Is that true?
No. No, she's still the Prime Minister. So
you're mean.
Okay, go back to sleep now, because we've got a better guest than you. And it's John Redwood. Hello, John Redwood. How are you?
Hello.
Good
yeah.
to talk to you. Tory MP for Wokingham, of course. Well, interesting night for you.
Yes, indeed. I mean, obviously disappointing, because I'd hoped that Theresa May would win that good working majority. But all is not lost, because we are the biggest party. We have enough yes. votes in the House of Commons to get on and govern, which is what I trust she will be doing. And we did get a much improved share of the popular vote. So there is a mandate there to get
was
on
it
and
not,
do
though,
what
a,
we've got to do.
Of, in realistic terms, a vote for none of the above, though, John, really? I mean, because no one's got
no,
the overall
it most
majority.
Definitely wasn't. It was a vote for two of the above. It was a big vote for the Conservatives, the biggest we've had this century. And it was a much bigger vote for Labour than people were expecting, but
that
they were a bit, but they were a bit behind the Conservatives. So the two old firms are back in business, and the important thing for me is that both those parties said we accept the Brexit result, we just got to do the best possible deal.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping when all the brouhaha dies down, Labour will see that Theresa May is the best person to go in, do those negotiations, and we broadly want the same thing. We want out of the EU, but we want to be friends with Europe, trade with Europe, keep a free trade agreement, all those kinds.
Brexit off the table, though, because there's no majority for
there was no such thing as a hard Brexit
or a
soft Brexit.
What was the
there,
what was the
there is a good
Brexit.
Brexit, and a good Brexit is that we get a great future relationship based on free trade, which is even more in their interests than ours,
yeah.
and it's something which should unite Labour and Conservatives.
But does so it not make the negotiations more difficult now? Because we're coming
no,
out of
I
a
don't
weaker
think
position,
so. My advice to the commissioners is to understand that the dismissal of the Liberal Democrat alternative, the second referendum and watering the whole Brexit thing down
yeah.
is what they should concentrate on. The British public have voted 84% for two main parties that
yeah.
accept the referendum and want to get on with it. And I'm hoping, as I say, that subject to normal politics,
yeah.
when our Prime Minister is negotiating for us in Brussels, I trust the loyal opposition will be on her side, because she'll be trying to do broadly what they wanted to do.
What about the DUP then? Where are they going to... Because they're going to... We learned the smart money, of course, is that they are now going to be involved. But they're kind of always a controversial party in themselves. Some of their beliefs may not chime. You know, they're anti-abortion, as we were talking about earlier. They oppose same-sex marriage. You know,
But these are all free vote issues. And,
and
let's see what kind of arrangement there is. It'd be very good to have their support from time to time, but it's not absolutely critical, because we do actually have enough votes, in my view, to be able to govern as long as the Tory party is cohesive.
Yeah.
And given that we didn't get the result we wanted, there's every reason for Tory MPs to say we still rather have Theresa May than anybody else, so let's get on and support her.
Are you saying that she's in it for the long haul, though? I know she said she is, but everyone's sort of going,
yes,
well,
of course,
because there are people waiting in the wings. Boris Johnson must have woke up this morning smelling blood.
Well, I hope not. I mean, I think Boris wants to remain as Foreign Secretary, and I'm sure as a loyal Foreign Secretary he will be as supportive of the Prime Minister as I am, both in public and in private.
Very, very well spun. Very good. but in terms of where we go now, though, I mean, it's we've got to let it settle, obviously.
Yep.
But do you think the public overall will sort of relax a little bit now, or does it make us into this more of a state of chaos?
No, I hope the public will say, look, we made up our minds. We want a bit more spending a la Labour, but not on the huge extremes they were saying, because it wasn't affordable. So the Tories need to take that into account. They want Brexit with a good free trade agreement. That's why they voted for both the parties that wanted that. And I think the Prime Minister now has a good hand to play. She can go to Brussels saying the big bulk of the country is behind all this. And even better news, it looks as if we've settled Scotland, because it looks as if the idea of a second independence referendum is dead in the water.
Because of the SNP
because the more they campaigned on it, the more they lost.
But don't you think, wasn't it interesting, in the areas that voted, well, in London certainly, you've lost more seats because they were tended. That seemed to be an anti-Brexit vote, did it not, last night, where people...
Well, I'm not sure it was mainly anti-Brexit. I think there was a bigger vote in London amongst young people for the free freebies that Labour was offering. And if I were a student and somebody said to me, vote for me and you have no debt and no fees,
well,
and somebody else you get debt and fees, I can see the
attraction. We were talking to a student.
And we've got to counter that.
We were talking to a student just now in Canterbury, which of course Canterbury is hugely safe city. It's my home city. I'm from Canterbury. Julian Brazier, of course, as you know, lost his seat. His face was a little bit of a picture last night. Rosie Duffield came in. And I'll be honest, I offered to take her for a cup of tea in Fenix in Canterbury if she joined us today, but she hasn't taken me up on that offer. However, he said, Student Stewart, he registered to vote during the Brexit thing. And he voted, and he said, not on any of the promises about tuition fees. He voted because of austerity and the cuts, and partly your manifesto. So he says different, and I wonder what you'd think of that, if he's saying, as a student, it wasn't a financial thing, it was simply a manifesto and policy issue.
Well, I can believe that. I mean, people vote for a variety of reasons, and I'm sure you can find some who thought it was about Remain and Leave again, but I don't think it was mainly. I had lots of conversations, I'm sure you did, during the election, and it was more about public spending and the student offer and all that kind of thing, and the Conservatives have got to take on board that we need a proper answer on school funding, for example, and we're working on that, and I think this would be an encouragement.
Yeah, okay. All right. Listen, thanks for joining us. It's good to talk to you. John Redwood there, of course, Tory MP for Wokingham. This is Talk Radio. In the afternoons, we will be bringing you guests as we go. I'm going to be honest with you, right? It sounds like we've organised this, but what's really happened is we're just grabbing anybody who walks past that we vaguely recognise.
We accidentally interviewed a dustman earlier.
Yeah, who I thought was important, which he is, to refuse.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought he was a politician. I mean, they all dress like that. Anyway, because it's a radio, they're not bothered. They just turn up in pants and stuff. Anyway, we will be talking to people as we go along during this afternoon. It's an election special. It's a bit all over the place. I won't lie to you, but that's because we're down here at College Green live in a gazebo. Talk Radio, afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
This June, if you test drive the Qashqai, Juke or X-Trail, Nissan will give you an extra £650 off. That's up to a massive £2,900 on a Qashqai at only 4.99% APR representative. Yes, Nissan will give you money off, just for test driving our best-selling crossover range. I know it sounds unlikely, but that's what it says here in this script. I haven't read it wrong. I'm a properly trained actor. I've done Shakespeare and telly and hundreds of voiceovers. Search Nissan offers if you don't believe me. Nissan. Innovation that excites. Nissan Finance. 4.99%. 9% APR representative. Offer excludes Vizier grade. Subject to status over 18s. Order and register before the 2nd of July from participating dealers only. T's and C's at nissan.co.uk.
At Homebase, we're all about low prices. That's why our charcoal barbecues start from just £9.97 and our gas barbecues from only £99.98. Homebase. Always low prices.
If you pay for something, you should get to keep it, right? Yet with most mobile networks, you have to say goodbye to any data you haven't used at the end of every month. So say hello to Sky Mobile, the only network to automatically roll over all your unused data every month. And no matter what plan you choose, your data is yours to keep for 3 years. Plans start from £5 a month, and Sky TV customers also get free unlimited calls and texts. Search Sky Mobile and say hello to rolling your data on from £5 a month. Sky, believe in better. 12-month minimum term. Free calls and texts to standard UK numbers as a Sky TV customer. Standard price, £10. Acceptable use policy and terms apply. Redeem data per 1 gigabyte.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Problems in Hampshire. The M3 northbound is blocked. Stationary traffic due to an overturned vehicle at Junction 8 for Andover. Congestion back to Winchester services. Also a lane out on the southbound side. On the M27 eastbound, there's a lane closed and heavy traffic due to barrier repairs at Junction 12 for Portsmouth. In Derbyshire, the M1 southbound, a lane closed on the entry slip road due to a broken down lorry at 29 for Chesterfield. And in North Tyneside, the A19 in both directions heavy around the Silverlink roundabout in the roadworks. I'm Paul Jenkins.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith.
On Talk Radio.
I'm Penny Smith. Join me tomorrow morning from 8 on Talk Radio for the perfect weekend breakfast. I'm going to be reviewing the papers, taking a look at all the best new film, book and theatre releases, and I'm going to be chatting to a whole host of celebrity guests live in the studio.
Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith. Tomorrow morning from 8.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, and we are live from College Green in the Talk Radio gazebo. That the moment we take it down at the end of today, we are hiring out for weddings. Before we talk to our next two guests, which I'm very pleased to welcome into the gazebo, we've been looking at the news, and it's an extraordinary day, of course. And what we've noticed is, I don't know whether you've noticed this, Cornelius, of course, it's all quite complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Well, don't you worry. You don't need to, because we are here to help anybody who can't get their head around the complex issues of the news. And we do that on this show, as regular listeners will know, by taking the news and drilling down into it. And when you do that, what you end up with, as you'll know, is Japanese poetry. It's the news in five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Only just noticed that Theresa May looks just like Mrs. Goggins.
It's the news in haikus.
I was worried we were going to get through the whole of today's show without any Postman Pat references.
But luckily, we're straight in there within the first 40 minutes. Yeah. It's Talk Radio. It's the afternoons. We'll bring you more news in haikus, of course, as we go along. And we're bringing you lots of things this afternoon. And I'm very pleased to bring you now two very special guests. First of all, Ken Livingstone. Hello, Ken Livingstone.
Hi.
Good to see you. Welcome to the gazebo. And I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I know. Give me your pronunciation.
Arnon.
Thank you very much. Even though I only asked you moments ago,
that's all right.
I just forgot. If you want to come a little bit closer to that microphone. Arnon Menon, Professor of European Politics and Foreign Affairs at King's College in London. Gentlemen, what a night. Ken, how was it for you?
Well, brilliant. It's what I expected. I spent 18 months defending Jeremy, saying that he connects with ordinary people, we could win a general election, and most Labour MPs never believed that was possible. They went to turn on the telly last night, and they would have been shocked to see that prediction.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those MPs have been undermining Jeremy for the last 18 months will now come on board. They recognise Jeremy's now got complete control of the party, he's going to take us into the next election. And the last time we elected a hung parliament in 1974, we had another election within 6 months. And given the state the Tory party's in, that could be before the end of this year.
Yeah. If those MPs that Ken was just referencing there, Alan, had been behind Jeremy Corbyn from the beginning, would we be looking into Labour government?
I've never been wholly convinced by this notion that it was divisions in the parliamentary Labour Party that cost them votes. I mean, on the doorstep, you don't hear people saying, I would have voted for Corbyn, ooh, but that parliamentary party's a bit divided, so I decided not to. So I'm not wholly convinced by that, no. But I do agree with Ken that actually a lot of those MPs now have got very little choice but to get behind him.
Yeah, and that's going to happen, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, well, we were just talking to John Redwood, who, of course, was putting a spin on it, as you'd expect him to, and a very brave spin. But what's interesting is I suggested it was a vote really for none of the above. But if there are winners, it is Labour.
No, it's very positive. I mean, I've been talking to people. People come up to me on the street and talk about the election. And I always say to them, look, if you had to spend 2 hours stuck in a lift with Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn, who would it be? All of them. Even diehard Tories have said they'd rather be with Jeremy. And I've never seen a leader since 1964 when we had a Tory leader who'd come down from the Lords, I can't remember his name necessarily, who's just so poor at connecting with people.
Right.
Jeremy was positive and optimistic about our future. Theresa May, it was all attacks, smears, doom and gloom.
Well, it was the manifesto, wasn't it, that did for her in those days?
It was the manifesto, it was her style, it was the fact that people hadn't expected her to be quite so bad at campaigning, and I think crucially as well, it was her failure to turn up and debate.
Yeah, do you think that had that much of an influence? Because obviously, even the last election, that was kind of an issue about who would debate and who wasn't, and how much of a difference is that the public that does make a difference? Do you think it resonates with them?
I don't think it's a good look. I think it takes a lot of other things as well.
It looks cowardly.
There was a picture building up of her being a little bit cowardly and a little bit incompetent because the campaign wasn't great. And actually, it would have been a good opportunity had she taken it to actually put herself out there and convince people that she was who she said she was.
And why do you think, Ken, the young people, because we see this huge demographic now of between 18 and 25. We were talking to a student earlier who voted down in Canterbury. And historically, of course, has changed that seat, which has been a Tory seat for over 100 years. I think Julian Brazier is now 130 years old. I think that's correct. But now Rosie Duffield is in, and that was purely down to the young vote. So how did Jeremy swing that young vote?
Well, this is like what happened in America with Bernie Sanders, who almost beat Hillary Clinton. Young people came behind Bernie Sanders, just like they're behind Jeremy, because they're looking at a world where their prospects are not good. I mean, my kids are all thinking, will they ever be able to afford to buy a home?
Yeah.
Two of my kids work in the NHS. They get a 1% pay rise each year, which isn't keeping up with inflation. And I think Jeremy was offering an optimistic future, which is possible because we are the fifth richest economy in the world. I mean, you listen to the Tories, it's like we're an impoverished, hopeless, there's nothing we can do. We can do anything we want to turn this economy around, but it means Google and Starbucks and Amazon got to pay their fair share of tax, and we've got to make sure there's a proper and fair tax system. We don't need to increase taxes on ordinary people.
Do you think, a lot of the manifesto did affect ordinary people, because there was this figure of £80,000 set as a high salary, which many people, and I realise there are many, many people not on £80,000, but a lot of people saying that's not, in realistic terms, a very high figure to start taxing people at that high percentage. And do you think that alienated maybe voters of an older age who wouldn't go for that?
I mean, for people based in London, yes, it's not as dramatic as it is if, say, you're living in Newcastle or Liverpool. And I think this shift, we've gone from, London and the South East have done very well economically and distorted our housing market as a nightmare. Most of the rest of Britain's been left behind. And so there's very different results in different parts of the country.
Well, it was interesting, wasn't it, Alan, the swing to red in London, actually, because that is going the Labour way. That is the people on the higher salaries, so that was they're voting to be taxed more in that sense. But that was an anti-Brexit vote, would that be fair?
I think it's true to say that in Remainer parts of the country, turnout was far higher than people had expected. It is worth saying, though, to remind ourselves that Jeremy Corbyn lost the election.
Yes.
And he lost it and got fewer seats than Gordon Brown did in 2010.
Yeah.
Now, the fact is he exceeded expectations because expectations were very, very low. But ultimately, we've ended up with a Conservative government.
We have, yeah. And we should briefly talk about the DUP as well. We know that Theresa May is going to be talking to them. It's the obvious party to go to. But suddenly they're thrust into the proper spotlight, aren't they, the DUP? I mean, people go, the big Google thing I saw is, who are the DUP? And who are the DUP, Ken?
Well, it's quite interesting. 30 years ago, there was one DUP MP and one Sinn Féin. Now they control all those seats. And the interesting thing is, the DUP represented working-class Protestants, whereas the official Ulster Unionists were part of the British establishment, aristocrats and all that. And I think, in a sense, the DUP and Jeremy would have lots of points to disagree on, but they're actually there representing ordinary working-class people. And therefore, Theresa May have trouble doing a deal with them because they're going to be very tough and they're going to want a lot
of investment. But they certainly don't like Jeremy Corbyn, of course. Sinn Féin ties.
Well, you say that, but when I got elected to Parliament, I got on well with the DUP MPs because they recognised people like me and Jeremy were telling the truth. You had to negotiate with the IRA and that would bring the conflict to the end. And you had Margaret Thatcher's government refusing to negotiate and another 1,000 lives were lost.
But this morning they said, they specifically said, I heard in the interview on the radio, the DUP said, although they hadn't been called yet, but although they may have been now, by the Tories and Theresa May, they did rule out, they said if it had been Jeremy Corbyn, they would do no deal with him. They were very specific about that this morning. And politically, of course, that's what they stand for.
Yeah, politically that makes absolute sense. There are lots of things they can work with the Tories on. And of course there's a sort of social conservatism in terms of values that they increasingly share with the post-Cameron Conservative Party, which is slightly what you might call old-fashioned views about homosexuality and the like.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because, again, they've got the anti-abortion, of course, the same-sex marriage, all this kind of stuff. For young people, certainly, that's a controversial bunch of policies, isn't it?
No, absolutely, and it just ties into the fact that our politics is as never before divided by age.
Yeah.
Young people are very, very different electorally to old people now.
And we're back to a two-party system.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to go a long way back to be in a situation where 83% of the vote went to the two main parties.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to reverse anytime soon. I think Tim Farron almost lost his seat, and yet he had massive coverage. And perhaps that might be there's a lot of gay people in his constituency. They didn't like the fact he kept waffling on and evading the question.
There we go. Listen, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining
Cheers.
Us, and Ken. You listen to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes. There is the small matter of headline hijack, which is on the way next. Now, this is, of course, this is where you are allowed to make up the news yourself. Victoria's Bulletin will be along momentarily, but within there, there will be a made-up news lie. It seems the right day to be doing that, doesn't it? So make something up. Just send it to us. We've got loads of stuff coming in. Before we tell you who's got their story in, Cornelius, rattle through some for us, if you
This will. One's from Malcolm, who says, following a hung parliament result, the police force has released a statement saying that the rule of law still exists and has quelled a rumour doing the rounds on social media sites that the plot to the film The Purge has become a reality.
Right, OK, anything else?
This is from Samuel, who says, rumours are coming out of Buckingham Palace that Prince Charles has told the Queen that he is happy to offer his services as Prime Minister until the electorate can finally decide on someone. The heir to the throne would be the first unelected person to hold the royal prerogative since Theresa May yesterday.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. We are going to need, though, the name of the person who's got their made-up news story into the news, masquerading as truth, to confuse the people not listening to this bit.
Why, it's Sally, John.
It's Sally?
Yes.
Good old Sally. Where's Sally from?
Sally is from Maidstone.
Well, we are live from a gazebo on
yes,
college...
Yes, Sally.
Yeah.
We see your Maidstone and we raise you a gazebo.
It is. Well, someone's raised the gazebo and it hasn't fallen down yet, so I'm not sure it was done by anybody at Talk Radio, if I'm honest. But anyway, still to come on the programme, well, the regular things are. There's the big debate at 3 o'clock, of course. We will be bringing you guests, we'll be bringing you MPs, we'll be bringing you ex-MPs, we'll be bringing you commentators. Lembit Opik's going to be joining us very soon. We'll have various correspondents out and about. We'll have live, topical, up-to-the-minute music for you in the last half an hour of the programme. You're listening to Talk Radio. It's the afternoons. We're live from College Green on this extraordinary day, and I'm John Holmes. Chloe, press a button.
Never mind the ballots. It's your radio that counts. Election 2017, live on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hello, Mrs. Wren. Oh, you've got the tea and biscuits. How kind. What do you mean they're not for me? You've got someone else round? Ah, Mr. Woodpecker, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, I am mistaken. It's one of Wren's Fira Gold Award-winning kitchen installers. His workmanship's guaranteed for 5 years. Give that man a biscuit. Fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
Imagine this. It's time to change your car. Someone offers to buy it. Great, but only if you buy your new car from them. Ugh. Which means you don't have the freedom to shop around for a better deal. Well, that's what happens when you trade your car in. So why not try selling to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then you'll be a cash buyer, all footloose and fancy-free, off to try and get a better deal on your next car. Imagine that. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops it feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag precious stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
A tough and overgrown lawn never gets in the way of the McCulloch man when there's a match on. Like a powerful striker with his McCulloch lawnmower. He has the power to get the job done, cutting the lawn down to size well before the pre-match build-up, leaving it looking good enough to host the cup final. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio in the aforementioned afternoon. I'm John Holmes. We're live from College Green. Here's Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, May promises certainty as PM.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May says she'll form a government despite disastrous results in the snap general election. The Prime Minister says she'll rely on the support of the Democratic Unionist Party in order to get her programme through Parliament.
Our two parties have enjoyed a strong relationship over many years, and this gives me the confidence to believe that we will be able to work together in the interests of the whole United Kingdom.
Conservative MP John Redwood has told John they won't have to rely on the DUP too much.
It'd be very good to have their support from time to time, but it's not absolutely critical, because we do actually have enough votes, in my view, to be able to govern as long as the Tory party is cohesive. And given that we didn't get the result we wanted, there's every reason for Tory MPs to say, we still rather have Theresa May than anybody else, so let's get on and support her.
Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn is among the PM's rivals, calling on her to resign, saying she no longer has the mandate for her Brexit strategy. His party still ended up with fewer seats than the Tories, though, but did do much better than some polls predicted. Former Labour adviser John McTernan has told Talk Radio she's failed.
She lost her majority. She has no mandate. She has nobody who goes into an election with a majority, comes out of it with no majority, has any mandate for anything. Everything that she wanted has been rejected.
Well, yesterday's ballot has also caused turmoil for other parties. Paul Nuttall's resigned as UKIP leader after failing to win any seats. The party's economic spokesperson Patrick O'Flynn's told us he'd welcome Nigel Farage potentially making a comeback.
If Nigel wants to have another turn at UKIP leadership, or at very least if he wants to come back as a major front of house campaigner for Brexit, that can only be good for everyone who wants us out of the customs union, the single market, the European Court of Justice and freedom of movement. And that's the Brexit people voted for last year.
SNP leader Nicola Sturgeon's admitted support for another Scottish independence referendum played a part in them losing 21 MPs, while former Deputy Prime Minister and ex-Lib Dem leader Nick Clegg was also among the big casualties of the night.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Cloudy of rain for Scotland, sunny spells and scattered showers elsewhere with highs of 21 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. We'll start with tennis. Andy Murray took the first set 7-6 against Stan Wawrinka in the French Open semi-final. It's Wawrinka who's on top in the second set, though, leading by 4-3. There's four-match commentary over on TalkSport 2. Hull have appointed former Russia manager Leonard Slutsky as their new head coach. He replaces Marco Silva, who left to take over at Watford following Hull's relegation from the Premier League. Slutsky resigned as boss of CSKA Moscow in December after 7 years in charge. New Zealand and Bangladesh are in action in the Champions Trophy this afternoon, knowing whoever loses will go out. However, victory for either side in Cardiff might not be enough if Australia beats England in Talk Sports live commentary game tomorrow. Finally, Britain's Lewis Hamilton will look to keep the pressure on championship leader Sebastian Vettel ahead of the weekend's Canadian F1 Grand Prix. The first two practice sessions before Sunday's race take place this afternoon. That's the latest sports news powered by Talk Sports.
And finally, Donald Trump's tweeted an offer to take on the role of British Prime Minister. The US President says he believes he can make the UK great again and says he'd rebuild Hadrian's Wall.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Previously on British Politics.
The British people decide our future in Europe.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds.
Education, education and education.
We made a pledge. We didn't stick to it. And for that, I am sorry.
Scotland has voted no.
With what?
The ladies not for turning.
How dare I say such a horrible thing.
This country is at war. With Germany.
Maybe Dodgy Dave will answer it now.
I think the people in this country have had enough of experts.
Go to the palace and offer my resignation.
The government should call a general election to be held on the 8th of June.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoon. Of course, there was a snap general election. It has snapped. And in many ways, Theresa May's credibility has a little bit as well, hasn't it? Hasn't it, Lembit Opik? What do you think?
I strongly concur with what you've said, sir. Well, you would expect me to say that.
I would.
This idea of Theresa May calling an election and then losing it, that's the kind of thing I would do.
Yes, it is.
But not to the whole country.
I wasn't going to say inept, but
I can see it in your eye. That's right, I'm an expert loser.
Yeah.
But not for the whole country. No. This is an insane thing that she's done.
It is. Now, before we delve more deeply into it, I want to congratulate you, first of all, not for any success for your former party, the Liberal Democrats, or anything like that, but for becoming a father in the last few days.
Absolutely. 5 minutes of it was my work, and the girl did the rest.
5 whole minutes.
I'm exaggerating, well. Yeah, actually. Of course. Maybe come back to that some other point. She's in the hospital at the moment, getting better. And Angelina Levy Opick, that's what she's going to be called.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations. And will she go into politics? Will she be good for Britain?
No, because her mum's Bulgarian, but she could be a good Bulgarian president. It's a bit more stable and strong government there, I think.
Aaron Bastani, founder of the Navarra Media website. Pro Corbyn. I suppose it's been a good one for you.
I'm pro-change. I'm pro-having a country for the many, not the few. So, yes, it's been wonderful.
Nicely rattled that out in the second sentence.
It's been wonderful. Look, we just got a 9-point increase for the Labour Party. That's the biggest swing in British politics for any party since Clement Attlee in 1945. We've won UKIP voters, we've won Green voters. We've won seats in every nation of the United Kingdom, Wales, Scotland and England. Not Northern Ireland, because we don't contest seats there.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah, well, it is remarkable because no one's expecting that level of success for them, but yet still far from a majority.
We've just gone up nine points.
Yeah, but it's still way up. It was a vote for none of the above overall, there wasn't it?
Guys, look, centre-left parties across Europe are struggling, okay? We've just had elections in Holland and France.
Yep.
The equivalent of the Labour Party got 6 and 7% respectively. Labour's just got 40%. It's got the most members of any centre-left party in Europe. It's got the most money. It's got the highest polling. It's got the best election results. This is the outlier. And we need to understand why. I'm not saying I know why, but it's the outlier.
That's scientifically
indisputable.
If you want to take that view, let me point out that the Lib Dems grew by 50%. 50%. Okay, they lost 5 out of the 9 seats they started with. Yeah, 12 seats. Yeah, but 50% is like me saying...
I'm glad you got 12 seats. I'd rather than be, you know, Lib Dem seats, the Tory seats.
I accept that's like me saying, when making the baby, I perform 50% longer, which would be 7.5 minutes. Yeah. And I accept that's a problem. But it's a start. It's the first growth since the great late Nick Clegg.
Yes.
Passed on from this earthly parliamentary.
What do you think of Nick Clegg, genuinely? Because he destroyed your party.
I wrote a book called The Alternative View, 438 pages, and it basically says, resign or screw up the party. He didn't read it. I gave him a free copy. That was the problem. The writing was on the wall. The problem is now, the party is so depleted that it's just slowly, achingly beginning to get a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But 50%.
She is in the same situation now. Is Theresa May the new Nick Clegg? Is she destroying your party?
So look, Nick Clegg, I think Nick Clegg, actually a very talented man, but he's actually really one of the
tuition fees did for him, right?
Politicians.
That was what happened.
He destroyed a mainstream political party in Britain. It's not easy.
Well, you know the joke. Why did Nick Clegg cross the road? Because he promised not to.
Right. I mean, that's not easy. And then he's lost his seat. You know, he was part of a very weak Remain campaign last year. Yeah. You know, he was the outstanding pro-European politician in Britain, apparently. So, terrible politician. You know what? Theresa May trumps it. The worst prime minister this country... I mean, I'm a young guy, relatively speaking. I can't think of a prime minister of the 20th century as bad as Theresa May.
You're young. I know many prime ministers who are as bad or worse.
Nothing as bad as this on a campaign trail?
I couldn't possibly comment without potentially being libelled by his family. But I would say that Theresa May looked great. I've never been conservative. I thought she looked great at the beginning. 21 percentage points.
Well, that's why she went for it. Yeah. I mean, but it was her manifesto that did for her, wasn't it? It was a shambles.
It was hubris. Nigel Evans, who's a former deputy speaker, said that they shot themselves in the head, and they did. And I think it was complacency. They thought, we're going to be honest and tough so that they can do the mean stuff. But if you tell people you're going to take hundreds of thousands of pounds away from them, they're probably not going to vote for you. And then they go, well, we changed our mind. That would be as ridiculous as saying, you don't know if gay sex is a sin, and then you say, it's all right. Oh, actually, forget that one.
Who would say such a thing?
Is this recorded?
We'll edit this out. That's absolutely fine. But bring it back to Labour's success last night. I was surprised at the amount that London, traditionally blue, turned red, which the smart money on that is, that was the Brexit, that was the Remainers sort of kicking back against that. Is that the view inside the party and inside the
for some people, I mean, London, you know, obviously... Kensington's just voted for Labour.
Yeah,
that's obviously significantly powered
by Canterbury, which is only
a two-vote majority. That's 0.001%, not 50%.
Yeah. But there was a one majority somewhere last night, apparently.
I don't know.
It's a new record. I don't know.
There are an awful lot of two- or three-figure majorities.
There were a lot of recounts. Yeah. The amount of recounts last night.
But it's one variable, but undoubtedly for Labour, in terms of getting over 40% of the popular vote, in England, 42%, more than 1997. Again, remarkable. is the manifesto.
And the young vote, though, because it was the manifesto. But weirdly, the manifesto, this is interesting, isn't it? The Tory manifesto, the social care, the dementia tax was a huge issue, yet that has no implications for the young people, yet that was, the old people seem to still vote Conservative.
That's the crazy thing. Theresa May chose a policy and her team chose a policy directed at the very people she depended to vote for them.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
But it's all right, because fox hunting was coming back. So
yeah, it would be like going to the RSPCA and League Against Cruel Sports and say, if you vote for us, then I promise a free vote in fox hunting, and we might reintroduce it. Hang on, in 4 days, they say, well, when I meant that, I meant only a bit of fox hunting. There'll be a cap on how many foxes you can kill. It's just, I just don't understand how a woman who's, I think, relatively intelligent, Theresa May, just messed it up.
So, in terms of
that
young...
What are you laughing
at? That's
true. It's agreed.
I agree.
But the young vote, though, what was it about Corbyn? Just because was it because he wasn't Theresa May? Was that the only reason? Because
no, it's the manifesto.
There's a lot wrong with Jeremy Corbyn. Come on.
There's a lot that's not working in this country. We have, for instance, home ownership is at the lowest rate since 1985.
Yep.
Wages down 10.4% in 9 years. Productivity flat. People are struggling. Lots of people. 17 million people in this country have £100 or less in savings. Okay. So, I believe Labour would get 35% plus last night. I did not comprehend the level of anger and grievance out there, but also the belief that it isn't inevitable and that they can do something about it. I thought a lot of people felt that way. I didn't think it was this much.
He's still a long way off becoming anywhere near Prime Minister.
I mean, I'm a Labour Party member. I'm meant to big up Labour. We'll have another general election soon. Labour will win a majority.
That's the great thing about it. Now that we know Theresa May's policy, which is best of three,
yeah.
There will be another one soon.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think if Corbyn plays this right, then he will play the Prime Minister in waiting. He'll brush his skills up and so forth. But you know what? There's one danger. Tim Farron, if he's smart, I think he'll probably hold his position as leader. Then he'll realise he's got to do something about tuition fees. He's got to get to the youth vote. And he's got to sort out some of the schoolboy errors that he made on the way through. I mean, talking about, let's say, bottom sex for 2 weeks wasn't the core manifesto position that I think.
But he got dragged into it by saying stuff in the past.
What, bottom sex?
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, a policy. Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
But once again, you can say stuff, and people like Anne Widdecombe, she says stuff, people don't agree with it, but they respect her. That's what Margaret Thatcher did. The problem was he went all over the place with it. So if Tim Farron and his team get sorted out, you might lose some of the youth vote again if he's contrite, the same way Zach Goldsmith just snuck in by saying, sorry about everything, give me another chance, and beat the Lib Dams by 45.
Vince Cable back, of course. Any return for you, Liam?
Well, I can't possibly say that any plans, but if called to serve this country in that way, no reasonable peerage refused. I may be past the case.
Aaron, in terms of you run the website at Pro Corbyn, but stepping into the fray yourself in the future as an MP, is that a calling?
It's an amazing position to be in. Limit's very lucky because I think it's such a privilege to do that. But power in this country does not just reside in that place, and we're next to Westminster.
Yeah.
It's also in the media. It's also in the realm of ideas. And what we've seen in this election is that the Mail, the Sun, the Express, they came for Jeremy Corbyn and they didn't land any punches. Why is that? Because people have gone out there knocking on doors. Momentum have done so much offline, online, range of other organisations as well. I'd love to say Navarra Media is part of that. I think it is. And power is in many places. Yes, politicians have it, but people have it too. And for me, longer term, I don't know. But I will be either in the media or I'll be there or thereabouts. But power is not just held
representatives. No, it isn't. And you're right. And I think I asked the question.
Nigel Farage got that more than anybody else, right?
Well, interesting you should mention him because he's now not ruling out a return. but of course he isn't. We expected that. Whatever happened, he was going to stand up and say I was coming back. But Paul Nuttall has gone. Stepped down this morning. Were we expecting that?
He was too successful, apparently.
Yeah, that's apparently so. For his own good.
he might as well say, my work here is done. but in a way, he's right. The thing about... Because... After you've won a referendum, your whole raison d'etre has been achieved, at least in the eyes of the public, then it's very hard to carry on doing things. But it had a different kind of momentum, and I think they've got to be honest with themselves. Farage is a funny guy. No election is complete without one of his resignations and then him being appointed leader of something once again. But he's playing with it because he knows he can do. I think the serious point here is people will be limbering up for the next general election.
It could only be weeks away.
I would say, months, I think. Basically, months, yeah. Wait till the baby's at least 3 months. cancelled. My baby was born just 4 days before an overall majority of the Tories was finished. I may lie about that on the birth certificate. We'll see. So I think Farage has got a chance to get back in. But what's really interesting is the manoeuvring, and I don't know what you think about this, in the Tory party, because you've got to think that Theresa May's just so compromised now that they won't tolerate it for long.
Yeah, I was responding to that. I mean, the two outstanding candidates to replace her, Amber Rudd, Boris Johnson. Boris is now in a marginal. Boris has now got a majority of 4,000, 4,500. Amber Rudd's got a majority of a couple of hundred.
So they can't... she was touch and go for a while down the
Hastings,
exactly.
So
night,
you can't have a PM in a marginal. So I don't know where it's going to be. David Davis, I'm told, is the gent that persuaded her to do this. She didn't want to do it. So there's going to be a lot of Tory MPs. Yes, they're going to be angry with Theresa May. They're going to be equally angry with David Davis. So there's no outstanding candidate.
Michael Fallon's been mentioned as well.
Fallon, Stephen Crabb, I mean... they're not top politicians.
I don't think there's an obvious candidate. The thing about the Tories is they keep their cards close to their chest and then do a dash at the end. It's like some of those cycle races. Labour's much more transparent. I think that Corbyn's safe as houses. I'm not sure what you think. No changes with Farron either. We know about UKIP. Nicola Sturgeon will be where she is. But the Tories are the ones to watch and the new leader. And I think that's going to be interesting. But no one's going to want to take that poison chalice till they know what's in it.
Exactly.
So they've got the time. She's just sitting there, unable to move, trapped in her position. And then there'll be that dash for the power at some point as well. And it always comes from the inside of the Tories.
All right, final point.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we're living in a historic moment where time is sped up. So obviously I think Labour will get a majority in the next general election. But look, UKIP got 4 million 2 years ago. They've just crashed. David Cameron looked like he'd governed for as long as he wanted last year, went. So we can't take anything for granted.
If the MPs that... I asked this question of Ken Livingstone earlier. If the MPs that rebelled against Jeremy Corbyn hadn't, would we be looking at a Labour government?
I think almost certainly. I don't think that's me being silly. I think that's, you know, likely.
Corbyn came up the long and painful way. Internal challenges, really had to fight his way up. And he knows how to fight. And Theresa May didn't have that experience. I think that's one reason she's a bit naive. He is in an unburstable position. You know what? There is an outside chance that he could be Prime Minister one day. I would have said that before. The Tories have an easy solution. Now that Nick Clegg's free, they could just recruit him. He could rise up to the top, reduce the size of the party to 57, and then go into coalition with Prime Minister Tim Farron. But don't put money on that. I'm a Leicester City fan. I believe in the virtually impossible, but not the impossible.
There it is. Lembit Opik, thank you very much indeed. Aaron Bastani as well for talking to us this afternoon. We're live from College Green in a gazebo. What a fantastic gazebo, gentlemen. I think you'll agree as well. I know it was your girlfriend, but if you want to get married, we're renting this out for any
way. I was assuming this was the Talk Radio housing policy.
Yeah, that's the only one we've got.
What's a policy on formula?
Better than the Tories one.
Yeah. All right, thanks, gents. We'll be back. We're going to be talking to our senior correspondent Bernard Rush after the break. You're listening to Talk Radio live from College Green. I'm John Holmes. Good afternoon.
Democratic sonic involvement when you need it most. Election 2017 live on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
My thing, Guatemalan Cortado. As coffees go, it's pretty lively. Must have smashed out 24 spreadsheets in half an hour. Boom. Which is, funnily enough, what my laptop did when I spilt my Cortado all over it.
Oh, no.
So, I need a new one. 15-inch display, 1 terabyte hard drive, and no big price tag. Refurb it is.
Jake's thing. It's got to be a refurbished laptop from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
So you're thinking about getting rid of your grey with Just for Men, and you're wondering, how long will it take? Well, in football terms, faster than half-time. So in those 15 minutes, you could use Just for Men. Hit the loo, grab a pint, refill the crisps, order a curry, and still catch the highlights. So there you have it. In about 5 minutes, you're back to your natural hair colour. Just for Men. Officially faster than halftime. Find it in the men's aisle.
At Homebase, we're all about low prices. That's why our charcoal barbecues start from just £9.97 and our gas barbecues from only £99.98. Homebase. Always low prices.
These days, there's a better deal to be had online for almost everything. So when it comes to selling our cars, why do we go running back to the last century and trade it in? Why not stay right here and sell your car to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then use the money to get a better deal on your next car. It's quick, it's easy, and there's a branch near you. Change the way you sell your car. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Introducing the new Raspberry Ripple Iced Cooler. Cool and refreshing with a sweet raspberry flavour swirl. Then enjoy. Sun out, barbecue lit, flip-flops on, friends round, frisbee lost and temperature up until sundown. It's a quick burst of summer for only £1.99. The McCafe Iced range at McDonald's. Serve until the 3rd of October, subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Hampshire, the M3 northbound is still queuing at Junction 8 for Andover. Congestion back to Winchester services. All lanes are reopened now after an earlier vehicle fire, but it does remain heavy. Bristol, the M5 southbound, very slow between 15 and Junction 20 for Clevedon. And the A38 Bridgewater Road, slow near Marguerite Road in the roadworks. In Worcestershire, the M42 southbound, there's a lane closed due to a broken down car and caravan between Junction 2 for Alvechurch and 3 for Portway. I'm Paul Jenkins.
Pump up your mobile, people. Plus, they'd have an amazing £5 plan now with double data, double calls and double texts. 1 gig of data, 500 minutes, 1,000 texts for a fiver. That's more mobile than your hand can handle. Pick from a range of new 4G SIM-only plans on flexible 30-day contracts. Visit plus.net/mobile today. PlusNet, we'll do you proud.
Standard UK minutes and texts. Prices may change. Rolling monthly contract. Offer ends 14th of June. Terms apply. See plus.net/mobile.
Talk Radio.
We've got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio. I am John Gazebo Holmes. That's what they call him. Is I sit here under the listen to the noise of a gazebo. Listen, that's a stud. That is a strong and stable gazebo.
We should have bought a barbecue.
It does. it does smack of barbecue.
Yeah,
we're on College Green, opposite the Houses of Parliament. All the world's media are here. Filming. I mean, there's filming going on everywhere. We're going to try and get Cornelius into the background of some shots to maybe Sky News, some ITV coverage, something like that, as the afternoon wears on. But the world, yeah, we're sitting here in a gazebo. The sun is almost shining. It does sort of need a barbecue to kind of set it up. Maybe someone could set that up for us.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we need. But let's go from here to the constituency of Stirrup and Hoswell, where our senior correspondent, already a senior correspondent, Bernard Rush, has been and is reporting from. Good afternoon,
that
Bernard.
Is
how
the
are you?
Problem, mate, with democracy. Idiots like you getting the hello.
Hello. You're there, Bernard. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. Well. Good to have you on again.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
So, tell us things.
What time's this going out, by the way?
We are doing it in a slight delay. So we're
okay.
About 7 seconds.
Are you rolling?
Hang on. Wait a minute, Bernd. Let me just check. We are rolling over it. Can you tell me if we're rolling? Are we rolling, Chris? Yeah, we are rolling. We are rolling.
Okay.
We're rolling now. We're rolling. Roll.
All right. 3, 2.
I'm rolling. We're rolling.
Yes.
I'll count you in. I'll do the counting in with the fingers.
If it's okay, I'd like to do the count, okay? I don't. 3. So,
hang on, I demand. I'm going to have a recap.
I demand
a recount. I want a recount.
Listen, I've been up for 37 hours now.
Yeah. Did you count the hours though, or did someone else?
One.
We're rolling.
We're rolling. 17. Just 17 votes in it here at Stirrup and Hoswell between Benugo Rothschild, the Tory MP who inherited the seat from his father in 1987, and Mustafa Higginbotham, the rookie Labour candidate who up until last month worked in Subway. In the end, Higginbotham won by just 17 votes, John, representing a swing of 970%, although a substantial vote went to an independent who is standing as a single-issue candidate, Russ Fark, in for Better Trains for Hoswell. Did you get the script?
We were rolling.
At
this
point.
Roll over that?
No, cut.
Yeah.
Did you get that? You're supposed to say, what about, more broadly, what are the implications for the UK at large?
All right, hang on, we'll stop rolling and I'll pick that up. I'll pick that up, because when this goes out, I'll just edit that onto
the account. Yeah, but I faxed the invoice as well. I'm sort of more concerned.
We didn't get your invoice.
Fine. Just keep rolling, rolling.
Yeah, We're rolling now. Okay,
right.
Okay. But our senior correspondent Bernard Rush is in Stirrup and Hoswell. We lost him there for a moment. He's back. What was the question again that you wanted to ask?
What does this mean more broadly?
What does this mean for things?
Thank Thanks, John. Good question. Looking at the picture more broadly then, John, Theresa May was facing some stark choices this morning. Although one of my sources in Conservative HQ, Jan McCleaner, said while she was doing out the cubicles in the men's toilet, she overheard a couple of urinating party grandees. She said they looked like grandees from where she was standing. They said that Theresa May was looking at several options, including entering into some sort of an agreement with some skinheads she met in the pub last week who, quote, looked like they'd be quite tasty in a ruck.
Right. And in terms
whether
of...
Whether she would have to agree...
Sorry, you hadn't finished. Apologise, you hadn't finished. Sorry, carry on. I didn't get the script.
Three,
so.
Two, one.
Whether pick it up from the... To, pick it up, hang on, pick it up.
Cheat!
Pick
whether
it up
she
from
has
the phone.
To agree to
no.
tax relief on
stop.
Dr. Martin Boots and tax.
We're not rolling. I've stopped the rolling. I've stopped rolling now.
It doesn't even work as a...
Stop, wait. Pick it up now from the thugs. Rolling.
But, John, what a night. From the first exit polls, the certainty of polls being forced to exit was in the balance as Brexit's future becomes increasingly uncertain. Perhaps, John... in our uniquely British way, we'll end up fudging Brexit, or fudge-sit, which I'm pronouncing very, very carefully.
Right. I can hear
you pronouncing...
I've been
awake for 37 hours, John, and the floor's gone quite springy now.
Right. In terms of your... Let's talk about you personally.
To be honest, what with the rules about fair and balanced having gone out of the window now,
wait
John?
A minute, because the question is this...
The question was on the facts.
I haven't got the facts. The fax machine here doesn't work.
We'll make up
I haven't got the facts with the question on it. So my question to you is this.
Go on.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Just looking for a question now.
Don't worry about it.
Bear with me. My question to you is...
Can I just say that...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You don't get paid unless you answer my question.
The thing is,
I've stopped rolling. We're not even rolling across this now. I'm just looking for a question. Here's my question.
Any sandwiches for the reporter?
Here's my question. Boris Johnson?
No.
To be fair, that's not your question. That's a question I had earlier for Ken Livingstone, but it's the only one I've got in front of me.
That's fine. No, is the answer no. Since the rules about fair and balanced reporting have gone out the window now, John, am I right in thinking that?
You are right in thinking. Say whatever you like about whoever you like.
Gone out of the window like the British economy. Let's just say this is a great day, John. This is a great day for the idiots who have ruined Britain for everyone. These people, John, they're the people who insist on pedestrian crossings and other ridiculous bits of Brussels bureaucracy. We don't need it, John. We never did. We don't need human rights.
Right, and there's a man, senior correspondent Bernard Rush, who's been awake for 37 hours.
Is it Denny? Because he didn't pay the last one.
You invoiced Denny Morris at Talk Radio.
Yeah,
he's the boss. Yeah.
Well, Lauren was all like, "I'm not going to pay it, babe," and I said I wouldn't do it again.
Didn't get the facts. All right, listen. Thanks
for faxed it through. What number? What's the number?
Oh, I don't know. WhatsApp it. Be modern.
Look. We said £50, right? But does that cover expenses? Because I'm on pay as you go. But this
sorry,
is
we've lost that. We've lost the line now. The line's gone. That's the senior correspondent Bernard Rush. He's in the constituency of Stirrup and Hosewell for Talk Radio. So we've been waiting for 37 hours there. But I think we got the gist of whatever that was. Now, are we going to doing this before the news or after the news?
After the news. So Victoria
after the
now.
News. All right, fine. So it's 2:30. In a moment, we're going to be talking to Tom Brake, Liberal Democrat, of course. He's joining us in the gazebo, but we're going to be... We'd have to take the news first. With Talk Radio, it's live from College Green in the sunshine on this extraordinary day. Talk Radio in the afternoons, I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the news.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May is adamant she can form a government with the help of the Democratic Unionist Party. It's after a bruising result for the Conservatives in the general election. When you add the 10 MPs from the DUP, the Prime Minister would have enough to give her a working majority. Professor of European Politics Anna Menon has told Talk Radio their alliance makes political sense.
There are lots of things they can work with the Tories on, and of course there's a sort of social conservatism in terms of values that they increasingly share with the with the post-Cameron Conservative Party, which is slightly what you might call old-fashioned views about homosexuality and the like.
The DUP is expected to make a statement shortly. Meanwhile, Mrs May's rivals have called on her to go, arguing she no longer has the mandate for her Brexit plans. Here's Lib Dem leader Tim Farron.
Theresa May promised strong and stable leadership. She has brought weakness and uncertainty. If she has an ounce of self-respect, she will resign.
Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn did better than some predicted, winning 261 MPs.
Young people and old people all came together yesterday. Very high turnout, huge increase in the Labour vote. And they did it because they want to see things done differently and they want hope in their lives. We put on more than 3 million votes yesterday.
Other parties suffered major blows overnight, though. UKIP's leader Paul Nuttall resigned after failing to secure any MPs. The party's General Secretary Jonathan Arnott says he's standing down in protest at their election campaign and the demonisation of Muslims. While the Scottish National Party lost 21 MPs. EU leaders have expressed some frustration at the situation as the result could stall the start of Brexit talks. Negotiations are due to get underway in 10 days' time. The weather, cloudy with rain for Scotland, sunny spells and scattered showers elsewhere with highs of 21 degrees. It's more in half an hour.
Start your engines, petrol heads, and don't miss the Motor Show. It's automotive for the people on your radio. Sports cars, pickups, 4x4s, GTI or coupe. What convertible is best to buy for a bloke who wears a toupee? He's the motor mouth with the V8 brain. His car know-how is stunning. Listen to Revved Up Andy J and get your motor running.
The Motor Show with Andy J.
Expert car talk that doesn't use a sneaky gadget to improve emissions.
Tomorrow afternoon from 3 on Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. Thank you, Victoria, for the news there. We are live from College Green. We are in the Talk Radio gazebo, which is unmistakable. For there are many gazebos down here. Tom Brake, Liberal Democrat. But this one, I think you'll agree, is a strong and stable gazebo.
Well, it does seem to be flapping in the wind, so let's hope the wind doesn't pick up.
Much like Theresa May at the moment, it seems.
Absolutely, yes. No, so much for strong and stable.
Yeah, so what happened? From your point of view, Liberal Democrat, I mean, it wasn't great for you either, but it was better than it used to be. Mm. What happened?
Well, I think everyone's at the point of trying to analyse exactly what did happen, because, I mean, I didn't detect a great enthusiasm for Jeremy Corbyn on the streets of Carshot and Wallington, and I don't think colleagues did elsewhere. So something happened which I think we haven't managed to quantify yet.
Well, we've been talking a lot about it, as you'd expect today, and there's a lot of talk about whether it was the Tory manifesto that was just sort of, I don't know, hastily written, it seemed, and not shared with colleagues. And Ben Gummer, one of the authors, of course, has lost his seat as well. And Corbyn seemed to have picked up the young vote, which has been enormous in this. So where did the Liberal Democrats fall in between?
Well, I think it was certainly talking to Tory MPs, I think they felt that it all fell apart at the point when the dementia tax suddenly hit the headlines. And in fact, we noticed that, distributing leaflets about that in the perhaps that the part of the constituency with the more expensive houses. People were literally coming out of their houses after we dropped off the leaflet, saying they were going to vote for us because they were so appalled at what the Conservatives were doing. So I think that was part of it. But clearly, I think in universities, I think students did get very mobilised.
Yeah.
And that, I assume, helped Jeremy Corbyn, although perhaps in Oxford, for instance, it might have helped our candidate Leila Moran, who got elected. So
is there still a stigma attached to Liberal Democrats with students, particularly over the U-turn on tuition fees? Nick Clegg, of course, lost his seat here. And we were talking to Lembit Opik moments ago, and the feeling there is that Nick Clegg sort of destroyed your party.
Well, I don't agree with that at all. Nick Clegg took we as a party almost unanimously took a decision back in 2010 to go into coalition. I still think that was the right thing to do. The country required strong and stable government, and they got it for 5 years, and now look what's happening. We've had a Prime Minister who, David Cameron, who had to go because of the EU referendum. We've now got Theresa May, who I suspect perhaps after the summer isn't going to be there as Prime Minister either.
How long are you going to give her?
Well, I don't think she'll be back in the autumn because, you know, she ran a campaign that put Theresa May at the heart of it. She had a bus that had Theresa May in huge letters. Up and down the country, Conservative candidates were standing with Theresa May. She lost the election, I think, possibly over the dementia tax by negotiating that with a small clique around her, not talking to people who are more experienced. So how she could survive, having called an election, which I think was just a naked political gambit. She saw the polls, they were way ahead. Yeah. She thought this was the chance to really knock Labour out, and it failed.
The opposite has happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yes.
she's there at the moment. She came out this morning and she went to talk to the Queen. But we know now it's going to be a minority government. There is no formal deal with the DUP or anybody else. That's where we are now.
Yep, and I'm sure many of your listeners will remember that Theresa May was threatening the country with a coalition of chaos. Well, now we've got one. It's called the Conservative Party and the DUP. And the DUP clearly have some strong views, perhaps some strong, often right-wing views, that people may find rather unpalatable. And so that's the coalition that we now have, thanks to Theresa May.
And she's gone for them because, obviously, they've got the 10 seats and that's the number she needs to cross the line, right? Because Sinn Féin don't take seats in Parliament and so on and so forth. So it was fun. I mean, I assume you were in the thick of it last night, to coin a phrase. But it was interesting as on TV, certainly, as the banners with the numbers kept coming along the bottom of the screen, and how UKIP sort of disappeared from it. The DUP started creeping into the rainbow, if you like. But when the exit poll came out, I mean, was that, you know, did you put faith in that exit poll last night? Is everyone?
Well, given that the last exit poll wasn't terribly accurate, I wasn't confident that this one would be, and certainly the first few results suggested that it might be off. But in fact, it seems to have been spot on.
Yeah.
So obviously the pollsters adjusted their formula correctly.
Yeah.
And came up with this response. For us as a party, yes, it was a good night, it wasn't a brilliant night, but we've got 50% more.
Now. How many have you got now? 12?
12, yeah, and of course we've got some really big hitters, people like Vince Cable, who frankly, I think from an economics point of view, is able to take on anyone either of the other parties can put up against him.
But Zach Goldsmith came in and ousted...
clearly I'm very disappointed that Sarah Olney didn't manage to get in by literally a handful of votes.
Yeah.
A very disappointing result. I don't quite understand what Zach Goldsmith is doing in terms of being, first of all, a Conservative, then being an Independent, and now being a Conservative again.
Yeah.
Whilst he's opposed to the third runway at Heathrow, which is, of course, his official Conservative Party policy. So he's stood on that platform as a Conservative, and presumably he's in favour of it, although in the by-election he caused, he was against it. So some confusion, I think, for Zach as to where he stands on that issue.
Was there a confusion, do you think, in terms of how Tim Farron, your leader, approached the gay question, because obviously that cropped up. That was it should have been a side issue, but somehow it became a big issue, didn't it, about his beliefs and whether or not. Did that get in the way?
Well, I guess it got in the way for a couple of hours until he had made a very clear statement that homosexuality wasn't a sin and gay relationships weren't a sin. At that point, that's the end of the story. I think
but it seemed not to be for the media, didn't it?
Well, I mean, obviously the media will pursue stories that they think of interest, even if politicians try to close it down. But I think what Tim is reflecting is the position of a lot of people that probably over the last 30, 40 years, there are a lot of people who have changed their views on some of these issues and are more liberal than they were 30 or 40 years ago. Not the DUP, no, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of things they'll be pressing for and what leverage those 10 MPs are going to be able to exert on the government. So how much pork barrelling is going to go on? Be interesting to see how many new bypasses, airports and sort of industrial investment is going to be taking place in Northern Ireland in future months.
And you campaigned on a ticket of a second referendum in terms of what the Brexit was going to mean and what it was going to be. A hard Brexit, though, has to be off the table now. There's no majority for a hard Brexit. So in terms of your seats in Parliament now, what are you going to bring to... What texture of Brexit are we looking at now?
Well, we simply don't know because, of course, the Prime Minister fought this election on Brexit, although she didn't talk about it, and her version of Brexit, which is out of the single market and the customs union. But people didn't actually vote for that. She didn't get a majority.
Yeah.
But now she's forming an alliance with the DUP, who in many respects are the hardest of Brexiteers. So she's got a real dilemma. Is she able to give way to them and deliver something that I think is going to inflict the most damage on the British economy and British jobs possible? Or is she going to start listening to some of the other parties and indeed members of Parliament in her own party who admittedly have been rather quiet on this issue, but there are probably 10, 20, 30 perhaps Conservative members of Parliament who frankly are not happy with what she is proposing. So she could face some difficulties even with the DUP on board.
And how long do you think before the country settles down a little bit? It's been such a, you know, since the snap election was called, and even before that, with a year's worth of Brexit, where nothing has really happened, we still don't know what it is. You know, it's not strong and stable, but as a nation, you know, how do we move forward now? What do we do?
Frankly, I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of our current or any future Prime Minister, because we have bitten off...
Is that you ruling yourself out as a future Prime Minister?
I'm ruling myself out as a future Conservative Prime Minister, absolutely. Now, as a country, we have bitten off something which I think is going to be very hard to digest. We are trying to unpick, in what will now be little more than 15 months, 30 or 40 years worth of closer working relationships with the EU. Yeah. Maybe Boris Johnson, who knows, has got to try and deliver that in 15 months. Now, I think that's unachievable. We've got things like airlines worrying about whether after March 2019 they'll actually be able to fly over Europe. And of course, they're very close to having passengers wanting to book tickets on those flights, and they've got no clarity yet about what that relationship will be like. So the way this extends to all aspects of UK business, diplomacy, I don't think anyone has got a real grasp of yet.
Listen, Tom, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Tom Brake there, Liberal Democrat for Carl Shelton and Wallington. Of course, we are live with you from College Green. We are bringing you guests. We are bringing you commentators. We're bringing you MPs. We're bringing you ex-MPs. We're bringing you all sorts. Next, we're going to be bringing you, a cross-party MP in many ways. He's been a Tory MP. He has been a Labour MP. He's been in UKIP. He's been in the Greens. He's been in some interns in the Houses of Parliament, if the rumours are to be believed. He's an independent. We'll be talking to him, and we'll be doing that after the traffic and travel. It's Talk Radio Afternoons. I'm John Holmes. We're live from College Green.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Show your superhero how much you love him this Father's Day. At the Perfume Shop, we have a huge range of brands to choose from, like the new Hugo Boss Iced, available exclusively at the Perfume Shop from £45. Visit us in-store or take advantage of our super-fast delivery, available online at theperfumeshop.com. The Perfume Shop. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in-store for details.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In June, we've got cement mixer hire for only £14 ex-VAT for 7 days, insurance included. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
Man, that Hypnos bed is comfortable. Time to get up, work to do. Shower, tick. Shave, tick. Dressed, next question. Time for all-you-can-eat brekkie with the fellas. Bacon, sausages and more bacon. Probably even some beans. Today is a big day. Because you are scaffolders. Whatever your story, this is a great place to start. Premier Inn. Premier You.
Breakfast prices and options may vary. Exclude certain locations.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Devon, the A303 in both directions is blocked with very slow traffic due to an accident between the A30 and the B3170 at Marsh, close to the Route 303 Cafe. West Sussex, slow traffic on the M23 northbound due to an accident between the M23 junction 9 for Gatwick and the M25 junction 7. Nottinghamshire, the M1 northbound, a lane closed and slow traffic due to broken down car between 26 for Nottingham and 27 for Hucknall. I'm Paul Jenkins.
Pump up your mobile, people. Plus, they'd have an amazing £5 plan now with double data, double calls and double texts. 1 gig of data, 500 minutes, 1,000 texts for a fiver. That's more mobile than your hand can handle. Pick from a range of new 4G SIM-only plans on flexible 30-day contracts.
Visit plus.net/mobile today. Plusnet, we'll do you proud.
Standard UK minutes and text prices may change. Rolling monthly contract offer ends 14th of June. Terms apply. See plus.net/mobile.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 6 on Talk Radio. Maximise your morning mojo.
I beg your pardon.
And get turned on to the new Fearless Breakfast Show that can't keep its mouth shut.
I'm Paul Ross. Join me from 6 on Talk Radio. If it's on your mind, get it on the radio, the big news station for the whole of the UK, you lucky people.
Supercharged radio that demands a reaction.
Plug in to Paul Ross and make your morning hum.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 6.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, Theresa May, much like Paul Ross on that Maidenhead roundabout a couple of years ago, of course, you know, went looking for a mandate. And unlike Paul Ross, she didn't get one. So, it's interesting times, isn't it? What an interesting day, Chris. What an interesting day, technical Chris over there. You can, look, we're on College Green. Listen to the noise of a helicopter. Great radio. Right, so we're in a gazebo. We are on College Green. We are surrounded by the world's media, it has to be said. And look at them all, Cornelius, out there. Look at the world's media. Look at them.
A lot of them look like they've given up, actually. Yeah, I mean, there's just a group there just sitting. There's a man sitting up underneath an umbrella, even though it's not raining.
No.
I think he's so tired. He's he thinks that's his home.
Staggering around, having been up for hours and hours and hours. But we're right here, right down in the hub of Westminster, Talk Radio. I assume we've snuck in, because there's no way we would have got in here officially. But we have got a gazebo that we're very proud of. But what we are here for, of course, is to put us right in the middle of the action. Many guests this afternoon, one of which, very esteemed one, be talking to in a moment. But the news itself, what do we know? We know that there's going to be a Conservative government, yeah, but a minority government. No formal pact with the DUP or anybody else, says Theresa May this afternoon. But it's a difficult time for her, as we've been hearing. It's all very complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
No, Cornelius, I know, and many people can't. Which is why we take the news on this programme and analyse it for you and make it easy to understand by exposing it to short-form Oriental verse. Take the news, drill right down to the middle. What do you find in there? Nucleus, a centre, an epicentre, if you like, of Japanese poetry. Five syllables, seven syllables and five syllables. We present, and proudly mind, the news in haikus.
Julian Brazier loses seat, another bump in the road for him.
In haikus. I feel I should explain that one.
Yeah, go on, quickly.
So what happened there? Julian Brazier was the MP for Canterbury and had been for 250 years, right? But last night he lost his seat for the first time to Labour, but several years ago he ran over a man and killed him in France because he was driving on the wrong side of the road and got a suspended sentence for it. So that was the point of... Anyway, let's talk now to, one of our most esteemed MPs, I suppose. But esteemed in the sense that he's been there and he's done that. And indeed everything. Former Conservative Member of Parliament, former Labour Member of Parliament. This one has crossed the floor many, many times in all sorts of directions. Former Lib Dem, former Green, former UKIP.
I should have corrected you the other day on that. I never did defect to UKIP.
Oh, okay.
They didn't return my calls.
Fine. Magnus Turner, Independent MP.
Absolutely.
And I have to congratulate you because you held your seat last night.
Absolutely. Increased majority.
Yeah.
I understand the count was very smooth and a very happy event. I sent one of my people along to make the acceptance speech for me. My gardener knows the area very well.
Good. And this area is your constituency.
Absolutely.
Which is
reminding. Oh, now you see, you had a little game with me, didn't you, the other day? You made it look as if I didn't know the name of my constituency. And you know, even if that were true, I don't think you'd catch me out a second time.
No,
but what would you want to talk about?
Where is it?
I think the essence of last night for me was it was a late night. It was a very late night. Yeah. I haven't had any sleep yet. And I've only just heard the election result.
I saw one of my colleagues tell you it on your
absolutely
way into
yes,
the gazebo.
Yes, it yeah. sounds very. And I do feel somewhat at a disadvantage just at the moment because Mr. Mendez here, your producer, contacted me yesterday, asked me along here to your beautiful gazebo, and I was fully prepared to tell you that it had been a dreadful night for whoever had won, and now I find that all the losers actually scored huge victories. And everything's marvellous.
It's complicated, though, isn't it? You see the politics. And from your point of view, then, as someone who held their seat, I mean, let's look at who you were standing against last night.
I've always run very, very positive campaigns. Yeah. I don't believe in smears or dirty tricks, unlike the liars, thieves and perverts who've stood against me over the years. Mm. And I really don't want to give them the valuable airtime.
Right, well, that's an answer that I don't want. Let me be clear on that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Could
you give me an answer that I do want?
I just thought that standing against them in that way would reduce any question of opposition.
Yeah.
And I think I've been proved absolutely right.
These are the people I noticed on the... You weren't there last night, you're absolutely right.
No.
Your gardener was.
I think by then I was in Paris, to be honest.
Yes.
Crazy night.
Yes, and how far is that from your constituency?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a short air flight, so...
Yeah.
We just decided, we had a meal in London, a few friends and I, and we decided to do an impromptu fact-finding.
Did you actually go out and vote at all? I mean, out of interest.
Oh, I voted. I voted by post ages ago. Right. I was, where was I? Somewhere, it was somewhere warm and unethical, I forget.
Good. Right, in terms of the people, because I watched your result come in. Okay, watch this. And where Theresa May had Buckethead, you may have seen, and an Elmo... who was pitiful wearing the same clothes as her, it seemed to me. You, standing against you, there was a man in a Conservative MP's costume. I mean, like a suit. I mean, ludicrous. Looked ridiculous. I mean, just as you said, suit and tie. I mean,
well, I didn't know he was going to be there because we did have an arrangement with the Monster Raving Loony Party that they would not oppose me.
Right, yes.
And in turn, I would continue to advance their policies.
Yeah, which you've done very well, of course.
Well, for 30 years,
for
frankly.
30 odd years. Tell me a little bit about what you're going to do next, because this is a turbulent time, as we know, an extraordinary day for British politics, and as an independent, you know, you're on the fringes. What I'm saying is you're not important. No one cares about you or what you think.
Well,
what are you going to do next?
I think that's a view.
It is a view.
I think you'll find that I've played quite a role in politics over the years. You may read my book sometime, Magnus Rex, From the Parks to the Benches.
Yes, I won't ever do that.
It was basically an allegory about how I've influenced politics over the years.
Yeah.
What was your question? Oh, what am I going to do next?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be considering very hard. Only a few weeks ago, I crossed the floor from Labour to become an independent.
Yes, right. You mistimed that in many ways. Some would say you mistimed it.
I think I was a little ahead of the curve.
Right.
And I think I will consider a return. It is one of the few parties where I could find myself on the front bench. There's vacancies arising all the time.
Yes. This is not my words, although I will echo them. You're an appalling MP.
Well, I think, you know, I've had this sort of ironic comment over the years, and I do enjoy it very much. I'm a great fan of comedic adventures. But I do think it's a marvellous thing, you know, that I do want to congratulate Mrs. May.
Yeah.
Because
she won. Technical terms, she's still the Prime Minister.
Absolutely. And do you know what she's done? In 1 year as Prime Minister, she is now as popular within the party as Mrs. Thatcher was after 11.
Which is impressive.
That is a huge achievement.
It is a huge achievement. And speaking as someone who will just go and follow the money or wherever you think it's just best for you personally rather than an electorate.
Well, property,
or,
money,
that
whatever.
That sort of thing. There is a vacancy at the top of UKIP now. Literally isn't a party there, but there is a vacancy there.
No, and let's not lose sight of the fact that Mr. Nuttall did manage to hold on to all his parliamentary seats last night. He lost none whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Let me bring in Adele Darwish, a Westminster correspondent, expert on Syria, of course. Welcome to the gazebo.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you in here.
Thank you.
Magnus Turner.
Yeah, of course, I know who he is.
Lovely to meet you again.
Great. Very nice.
they closed that club. You know.
Yes, because of you. Adele, what an extraordinary time. You've been going around talking to people today, and the word extraordinary is being used a lot.
Absolutely. 1974 revisited, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Again, when Ted Heath called an election and he ended up losing it and had a minority government.
Was anybody expecting her to lose? I mean, it was one of those things where the polls were swinging about and no one trusts polls anyway, although the exit polls seemed to be about right last night. But was anyone thinking this was going to be the outcome?
Well, I started checking for banana skins in front of the kitten heels. as soon as she started this style. I like the way she didn't want to do the debate, TV debate. I said, yes, well, no, America, it's not presidential style. She said, constituency fighting in the streets.
Yeah.
But she went for this American style, me.
Yeah.
There was no actually, the word Tory or conservative didn't appear on the battle bus. And I don't think the British people liked that.
Was it the British people who didn't like that? Because that you're right, and the manifesto was all her as well. But we know that she didn't really put that to the cabinet, and the manifesto was potentially also what let her down.
I'm a pensioner. I got angry that Monday as a pensioner. I said, wait a minute, actually, I switched back in 1966. From Labour to Conservatives.
Right. Is it bad as you, Magnus, crossing all over the
place? Well, that's right. I think it was 66, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, that was a little before my time.
You're bigger than me.
But in terms of what happened there, because it's interesting, because the young vote appeared to be for Jeremy Corbyn. Although he's also claiming some of the old vote. But the old vote still, overall, went to Theresa May, despite this dementia tax.
But the miscalculation was that she assumed the UK votes throughout the kingdom will go to her.
Yes.
It didn't. Go north, and large part of it went to Labour. And in fact, I remember writing a blog at the beginning. I said, would actually Corbyn do a Trump in reverse? So the disaffected people, the angry people...
I wouldn't like to see Jeremy Corbyn do any kind of Trump in reverse.
I don't know. I mean, different hairstyle. So.
but where now for Corbyn? Because obviously we know that there's going to be a minority government. That's what she said. No formal pact with DUP or anyone else. Jeremy Corbyn has already said he's ready to serve. Same as Paul Nuttall, actually. But obviously that's in a McDonald's or something now. But in terms of what Jeremy Corbyn... is still going to be the opposition, but is going to be much stronger, and the detractors are going to fall away, are they?
I think he'll be stronger. I think the Blairites... Although I've seen Lord Mendelssohn doing the rounds here.
Yes. I've said, you can tell he's around because they play the Darth Vader theme anywhere he goes.
But I think the Blairite probably will fall into line or try to support him. I was listening to quite a few sound bites from Yvette Cooper this morning. Very reconcilatory. They come in a tune. So they probably line up behind him, because actually he did pull a rabbit out of the hat on this one, bringing the young, and he
do you think up, even he was surprised?
I think he was surprised. Yeah. I think he was surprised. In fact, in one of the interviews when he called, he said, she didn't win, she lost, she should resign. And the interviewer said to him, so did you? You should resign. And he paused. He didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
I think it's a surprise.
Because he's nowhere near a majority, of course, the Tories were much closer in, so they are we've had representatives of all parties on here this afternoon, and of course John Redwood is claiming success, and of course I was going to say the Liberal Democrats were claiming success, but actually they've been on and none of them have, which is it the end of the Liberal Democrats as late?
I think it's quite a surprise, because I mean the lost actually, I don't actually recall any, have you got any seed they actually held consistent, in a consistent way for a century or something? There isn't any seat that's been held for a long time
now. There was Yeovil once, but that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but there's just nothing. I mean, they lost the game five, they lost five, so it's no inconsistency.
Yeah.
Even the Sheffield votes that actually kicked the colleague out, they're actually more of a protest vote rather than calculated votes.
Okay, all right, listen, thanks very much for joining us. We've got to go to the news. Adel Darwish there, Westminster correspondent. Magnus Turner, independent MP, thank you for joining us.
Lovely to see you.
Remind us where your constituency is.
It's terribly close to my heart.
Good. Right, okay, next, the big debate at 3 o'clock here on Talk Radio. We'll continue to bring you election coverage as only we can from a gazebo-like tent. You can hear Big Ben there striking three in the background. And that means, of course, it's time for Victoria with the news on Talk Radio coming after these messages.
Your voice counts. Get it heard. Election 2017, live on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
There's a brilliant alternative to owning a car. With more freedom than leasing, it's better by far. Europcar's new long-term rental deal is the stress-free way to get behind the wheel. Delivery's free, collection is too. There's no lengthy forms or hoops to jump through. You'll get a great mileage allowance and complimentary valets, plus the chance to switch cars every 28 days. Get complete peace of mind for a fixed monthly fee. Add unlimited drivers, that's also free. For the best rental service, may we recommend long-term hire from Europcar, your flexible four-wheeled friend. Get long-term car hire from as little as £317 a month with a deposit of just £70. Book now at europecar.co.uk/long-term. Terms and conditions apply.
Stock for Father's Day gift ideas. At B&Q, the Dremel Hobby Tool Bundle with McAllister safety glasses and a pair of gloves is just £35. That's a saving of over £16. Hurry, offer ends Monday. So for great Father's Day deals, come to B&Q. Savings based on individual selling prices. Offer starts Friday 9th of June. See DIY.com for details.
I'm there as she's rushed down the corridor of A&E. Her bloodied hands are hanging limp from the side of the hospital bed. She desperately needs a transfusion. She keeps asking for her fiancé. We turn the corner. And I'm here, finally, in the snack aisle. I pick up a selection of crisps before realising that I forgot the potatoes. Back to the fruit and veg aisle it is, then. As a blood donor, you can save someone's life while going about yours. Register at blood.co.uk.
Integrated touchscreen navigation saves you getting lost.
You have reached your destination.
Hands-free keycard saves you fumbling around when your hands are full. Automatic climate control saves you overheating this summer. And now save £750 on the list price on selected Renault Captur stock when you take a test drive plus 20% off accessory packs. Features available on Dynamique Nav, subject to availability. Order and register by 30th of June. Retail customers only. Participating dealers only. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
In the afternoons, I am John Holmes, and it's live. We are live from College Green outside the Houses of Parliament, bringing you our election coverage special. Here's Victoria with the news at three.
Thanks, John. Coming up, Tories in talks with DUP over a new government.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May is going to stay on as Prime Minister.
I will now form a government. A government that can provide certainty and lead Britain forward at this critical time for our country.
The Conservatives are set to be propped up by the Democratic Unionist Party after a disastrous snap election, which has robbed Tories of their overall majority in the House of Commons. Here's DUP leader Arlene Foster.
The Prime Minister has spoken with me this morning, and we will enter discussions with the Conservatives to explore how it may be possible to bring stability to our nation at this time of great challenge.
There are calls from other parties for the PM to resign as she no longer has a mandate for Brexit. Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron has used her own phrases against her.
We will now have a government that is weaker and less stable at a time when we are about to embark on the most difficult and complex negotiations in our history. Theresa May promised strong and stable leadership. She has brought weakness and uncertainty.
Well, Labour made significant gains overnight with 261 MPs elected. But it was a bad night for UKIP, whose leader Paul Nuttall's resigned after they failed to win any seats. The SNP's lost 21 MPs, including high-profile casualties, the former leader, Alex Salmond. But Nicola Sturgeon insists the party will try to play its part in finding the right way forward for the UK. And the European Commission's president says he hopes Brexit negotiations won't be delayed by the result 10 days before talks are due to get underway.
Talk Radio national weather.
Cloudy of rain for Scotland, sunny spells and scattered showers elsewhere, highs of 21 degrees.
Talk Radio sports update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. We'll start with tennis. Andy Murray and Stan Wawrinka are locked into a marathon semi-final at the French Open, the second time in a row they've met in the last four in the competition. It's one set apiece, four games all in the third set a short time ago. There's full live commentary over on TalkSport 2. To the football then, Hull have hired former Russia boss Leonard Slutsky as their new head coach. He replaces Marco Silva, who left to take over at Watford after Hull's relegation from the Premier League. Slutsky resigned as boss of CSKA Moscow in December after 7 years in charge. New Zealand and Bangladesh are in action in the Champions Trophy this afternoon, knowing that the loser will go out of the competition. A win for either side in Cardiff might not be enough if Australia beats England in TalkSport's live commentary game tomorrow. Finally, F1. Britain's Lewis Hamilton will look to keep the pressure on championship leader Sebastian Vettel ahead of this weekend's Canadian Grand Prix. The first two practice sessions before Sunday's race take place this afternoon. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Previously on British Politics.
The British people decide our future in Europe.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds.
Education, education, and education.
We made a pledge. We didn't stick to it. And for that, I am sorry.
Scotland has voted no.
With what?
The ladies not for turning.
How dare I say such a horrible thing?
This country is at war with Germany.
Maybe Dodgy Dave will answer it now.
I think the people in this country have had enough of experts.
Go to the palace and offer my resignation.
The government should call a general election to be held on the 8th of June.
And what a mistake that turned out to be. Didn't it, Lynn McCluskey, General Secretary of Unite?
Well, you said it, John. Yeah, a huge mistake. We all know why she called it. She was encouraged by the media, by the polls, by the establishment to call an election and have a coronation. People talked about 150 majority. I even heard 200 majority.
Yeah.
And how that has blown up in her face.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Corbyn has led a fantastic campaign, a great personal victory for him. A great campaign by Labour and a terrific result, short of forming a government. But in my opinion, we'll be in another election within the year. I think we've got a lame duck Prime Minister who simply cannot last.
Many people saying that. Many people trying to put a date on the next election, of course. So you're saying within the year. Other people have sort of said by the end of the week, possibly. It'll be going that way. But this is a question I've asked lots of people this afternoon, but I'd be interested to get your take on it. If Jeremy Corbyn, if the rebels, the anti-Corbyns, the Blairites and so on, hadn't sort of rebelled against Jeremy Corbyn, would we now, in your opinion, be looking at a Labour government?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that, yeah. John. The reality is that the division that was caused within the Labour Party, we know one thing, the British electorate do not like divided political parties. And that's why the opinion polls dropped so low. And that's really a lesson. I hope that the Parliamentary Labour Party, they're all meeting again on Tuesday, and instead of some of them jeering Jeremy, I hope they'll be cheering to the rafters when he comes in, because the truth is, the irony is, that some of the people that have been his biggest critics owe their jobs to him, because it was Jeremy Corbyn who's carried this campaign and has taken us to 261
seats.
It is
extraordinary, isn't it? Because when Jeremy Corbyn was first elected, you know, there was all the opposition to him, and he was a figure of fun in the media and publicly, and everyone just sort of, you know, with his left-wing radical views and you know, you've got McDonald Marxist stuff and the recent Diane Abbott thing. You know, all of this stuff was making him into a bit of a figure of fun. And now, it's, you know, in one night, it's sort of everyone's just sort of taking a step back and going, oh. But presumably you were thinking, oh, this guy's fine all along.
Well, of course, and it wasn't one night, John, of course. It's throughout the campaign. You know, the type of treatment that Jeremy Corbyn has had by the media over the last 2 years has been nothing short of despicable. They've created a myth about the man. The coverage has been deeply unfair. But what's happened in the last 6 weeks, of course, because the media are governed by election rules, they've had to show him in a different light, a more balanced light. He's been round the nation from top to bottom four or five times, speaking to thousands, tens of thousands of people. And people see the real Jeremy Corbyn, a decent, honest, genuine man who who is on their side and will create a better and fairer Britain. And I think, I hope that one of the things that this campaign has shown, because I've already heard a number of the more decent Tory MPs saying that the type of campaign of attacking and the negativity was wrong, and hopefully we've seen the end of that. You know, if you could take back a knighthood, then Linton Crosby should lose his knighthood. He wouldn't even get a car sticker for the type of campaign that they've just run.
Do you regret, because you were talking about the number of seats, do you regret those comments now?
Well, I mean, I don't want to go back and explain those comments. I made the point that because of the opinion polls at the time, 200 seats I thought would be a good result. So you can imagine what I feel about 261 seats. I'm ecstatic. And of course, I realised very quickly that if people could listen to Jeremy, if people could look at the manifesto and what Labour were offering, then there could be a change, and there was.
It's interesting that you say about the media not giving him the same platform, perhaps. But speaking personally, I mean, you know, we do a radio show, and we try to get guests on. But every time we tried to get someone to talk for Labour, we couldn't. I mean, the press office was, no, we're too busy for that. You think we're giving you the option here, and it wasn't happening. Why was that? Why were Labour, and I'm speaking from personal experience, they just would not come and put their point of view across. And this is before the campaign, and indeed during it sometimes.
Well, I think...
And including today. We couldn't get anyone from Labour today.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all tired.
Everyone's tired. Some people have made the effort.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I was up most of the night. But look, the truth is that obviously since Jeremy was elected, there was a resistance within the bureaucracy of the Labour Party and, of course, amongst many of the parliamentary Labour Party. And there was a group, a small group, a rump of right-wing MPs who sought to cause problems with that. As a result, he has been fighting almost a rearguard battle for a couple of years, including another election as leader. So I think that can be pushed behind us now, and the Parliamentary Labour Party, I'm absolutely certain, will unite behind him, will give him the type of support that a leader deserves, and I can see us going from strength to strength, especially on the basis of the policies. The manifesto policies have been incredibly popular.
They have, although unrealistic, some of them, don't you think?
No,
I mean, the franchise... The whole rail franchise nationalising but the franchises don't run out until 2025.
That's one of the most popular issues. You've got to
raise... It's popular, but impossible, isn't it?
You've got to raise these issues. The reality is that in rail, that's probably one of the most popular things that people want. You can actually fly to anywhere in Europe cheaper than you can get a return from north to south. So I think you've got to put forward aspirational positions that people look to and say, it's an alternative and different Britain.
It is, if it's deliverable.
It is deliverable.
Which the rail thing, you know, because of the dates of the franchises, you can't nationalise it. Even if he became Prime Minister, he can't do that because they're not going to run out until...
Well, whenever they run out, I'm not sure they all run out in 2025.
No, it's
a staggered thing. Whenever they run out, they can be taken back into public ownership. And all of Labour's manifesto, and this is the incredible beauty of the campaign, was costed. You know, in previous campaigns, we've had a situation where the media have always challenged the cost of things. Labour costed them, which the Tories never did. I mean, the Tory campaign has just been awful, as everybody has now accepted.
Well, let's bring in Tory, because Bob Neil is with us, Tory MP for Bromley and Chislehurst, of course. Hello, Bob.
Hi there.
Hi. Once again, you see, we can't get anyone from Labour, but it's all right. It's fine. Len's done them proud. But obviously, Bob, you're going to disagree. You've listened to what he was saying there. Of course, your manifesto was terrible. Theirs was brilliant.
Well, I don't agree for one second that Labour's policy was realistic, and I think a lot of people on the doorstep didn't go along with that. But equally, we've got to learn lessons from our campaign, and we've got to move on.
Yeah, indeed. And where do you move on to now? I mean, we've got a minority government. We know that there's no formal pact with anybody, the DUP included. Theresa May, though, untenable position, isn't it?
I think what we've got to do, first of all, is get stability in the government. It's not actually about personalities.
That was what this was all about, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think working with the support outside of the DUP, we are able to deliver that. because although there are some areas where we do disagree with them, on the issue about getting a sensible deal and a pragmatic deal on Brexit, yeah. I think they can work with us. That's the key issue on the agenda. And I think on most of the economic issues, we can find common cause. And above all, they want to keep the United Kingdom together. That's where we make common cause. Yeah. Those are the big ticket things, and that's more important than the individual people can say.
But all, I mean, you know, you would say that, and that's fair enough because that's what we'd expect. But overall, it's a kind of disastrous night, isn't it? And in terms of, you know, it was a vote for none of the above in a way, and I know Labour are sort of claiming what they're claiming, but still no majority. You fell short of majority that Theresa May was seemingly personally sure she was going to get, and it was about her, wasn't it, not the party?
Well, interestingly, under the Prime Minister, our party increased its share of the vote. She managed to increase the party's share of the vote more than anybody, I think, since Margaret Thatcher's time. But equally, we saw a collapse of other parties, and there's no doubt that there was a coalescing around Labour in some seats. I think there was a lot of more tactical voting than we've seen before, and therefore that increase in the vote that we achieved nationally across the piece didn't translate, I'm afraid, into seats on the ground.
It certainly didn't. And in terms of where we go, though, I mean, she's been to see the Queen, as we know. People, I guess... You're putting a very expected face on it, I know, but behind the scenes, surely the party is sort of going, ah, what now? We weren't expecting this, especially with that poll lead at the beginning.
Well, of course it's disappointing when you start off in a good place and it doesn't work out that way at the end of the day. But equally, you've got to be pragmatic and you've got to be adaptable in politics. I think actually the country wants us now to be precisely that, to get on with the job, get as much stability, make sure that we have a sensible set of policies that we can get through the House of Commons. And the role of the House of Commons is going to be all the more important now.
Yeah.
So it's important that we work in an open fashion going forward.
And what happens to hard Brexit's got to be off the table, hasn't it? Because there's no majority for that now. So what's going to happen? And those negotiations are imminent. So, and Europe are sort of looking and going, well, this is, you're in a weaker position than you even were to start with. What does she do about Brexit?
I think we have to set out our proposals, as we already have in our green, in our white paper, which I think was sensible, those 12 principles,
yeah.
which I don't think most people would broadly disagree with, but I think there is going to have to be some give and take,
yes,
and definitely. I think the European partners recognise that too. It has to happen on both sides as far as that's concerned. I've always argued for a pragmatic and a business-friendly Brexit as a London MP.
Yeah.
That's particularly important to me. I think it's important, therefore, as I say, that the House of Commons has a proper scrutiny role,
yeah.
and I'd say that whoever was in government, I did in the last Parliament.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important for us as MPs to hold government to account, but equally, we've got to deliver on what people voted for, whatever our own personal views about that debate.
Well, they didn't technically vote for Theresa May. So, in terms of... a lot of names are being mentioned. As you know, people putting, Len McCluskey put a date on it just now. He said there'll be another election within a year. She'll be gone. You know, she won't lead us into another election. You know, there will be a shuffle at the top. There will be someone else coming in, be it Boris Johnson, be it Michael Fallon. Amber Rudd has been mentioned. How long do you give her?
I think one of the things we've learnt is don't speculate about how long anything takes or how anything turns up. I'm genuinely not going to go down that route. Not because I want to duck it, but I think truth is,
who knows?
In a fast-moving situation, yeah. who knows?
Thank
There's
you,
the truth of it.
Bob Neil, thank you very much.
Not at all. Pleasure.
Bromley and Chislehurst, talking to us on Talk Radio in the afternoons, which is, you know, what this is. And we're live on College Green in a gazebo. We'll be back after Traffic and Travel. I'm John Holmes. Good afternoon.
Taking your case to the country. Election 2017, live on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Going for lunch, Claire?
McDonald's? Great Taste of America's back with the Louisiana Stack.
What's that?
Two beef burgers.
Uh-huh.
Pepper, jack cheese. I said pepper, jack cheese.
Ooh, nice.
And S-P-I-C-Y, spicy ketchup. Fancy it?
Well, let's go.
Great Tastes of America is back at McDonald's. Go all out for the Louisiana Stack with spicy ketchup. Ends Tuesday. Available from 10:30 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
Looking for a powerful Father's Day gift? At B&Q, the Karcher K2 Basic Pressure Washer Bundle with Host Starter Set, Detergent and Brush is just £65. That's a saving of £40. Hurry, offer ends Monday. So for great Father's Day deals, come to B&Q. Savings based on individual selling prices. Offer starts Friday 9th of June. See DIY.com for details.
Don't ignore the... It's the law to have a work... Don't ignore the workplace pension.
Get to know your responsibilities with help from the pensions regulator. Visit workplacepensions.gov.uk.
1 million is a gargantuan amount, isn't it? If 1 million people stood on each other's shoulders, they'd reach all the way to space. It'd be a bit cold at the top, though. Brr. So if I told you over 1 million people have chosen to sell their cars with WeBuyAnyCar.com, you might think, wow, I'm going to give that a go. Gargantuan. I like that word. Why don't you join them? Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Ah, yes. Ooh. Mrs. Wren says she's had a Midsummer Night's Dream. She dreamt that in June, all Wren kitchens are half price, with an extra 20% off. And a Neff dishwasher for just £179 when you buy five or more units. Ah, but then she woke up. And it was all true! All's well that ends well, eh, Mrs. Wren? So, fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Derbyshire, we have heavy traffic due to an earlier broken down vehicle that's on the M1 southbound between Junction 29 and Junction 28. In Nottinghamshire, we have one lane closed, slow traffic due to a broken down car that's on the M1 northbound between Junction 26 and Junction 27. In Worcestershire, one lane closed, slow traffic there due to an accident, a lorry and car involved, that's on the M42 northbound, that's between Junction 3 and Junction 3A. And in Devon, the A303 is blocked, both directions there, very slow traffic due to an accident between the A30 and the B3170. I'm Sammy Jolo.
My thing? My abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing? It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It is Talk Radio. It is the afternoons between 1 and 4. And I am John Holmes. We are live from the gazebo on College Green. The noise you can hear in the background, that of much media hubbery. All of the big media hubs are here. I'm looking over at Sky News, I'm looking at the BBC, I'm looking at Bloomberg, Reuters are here, of course, BBC Radio 5, LBC, all the minnows, but we, Talk Radio, the bastion of British broadcasting, are here as well in our gazebo. In the next bit of the programme, Cornelius. Hi, Cornelius.
Hi.
Who's here. He's very busy booking his guest and running around and so forth and eating a sandwich. And he's going to be trying to get into the background of various shots of various other outlets, the more visual ones, I think, than the radio. and when he achieves that, because I can see across the green here, College Green, when he does get into the background of any of those shots, you're going to hear this sound.
Lovely.
And that'll let you know how many other programmes he's managed to worm his way into the background of. Making a face behind Kay Burley, that sort of thing. Anyway, so while he goes off and has a go at that, we will take to the phones, because it's about time we had some views of the listeners, and we'll do that in the big debate. What do we know? We know that there's a Conservative minority government. We know Nuttall has quit, having achieved nothing. And Nigel Farage has hinted at another return to politics, even though, given that he still appears on everything talking about politics, you could be forgiven for forgetting that he even left politics in the first place. Former Liberal Democrat leader and practical joke once played by Paul McCartney on Heather Mills, Nick Clegg, has lost his seat, so as Alex Salmond in Scotland, Amber Rudd came within a close recount of losing hers. Breaking news this afternoon is that Elton John is still standing, however, better than he ever did. He told Talk Radio earlier that he's looking like a true survivor and feeling like a little kid. More on that, of course, in the main news as we get it. Now, on the line, talking to us on a telephone, is listener Sedgefield. Good afternoon, Sedgefield. Thanks for calling Talk Radio. Hi, Sedgefield.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, John.
Hi there, good afternoon, thanks for joining us. Now, you heard me say the word standing in there, of course, and that's why you called in. There's a lot of talk of standing, of course. People do that in a general election, don't they? You say no more. You say every one of us should forget standing at all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right, John. I mean, I'm a white, middle-aged, middle-class man, and I know your listeners might not be used to that, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologise for it. But I'm tired of people saying I should be standing up for things like women's rights or gay rights or animal rights. The only rights I'll be standing for are far rights.
Yes, but are you... Well, you know, that's obviously why you've called into a speech radio station. But the point is you say standing there, but you're not differentiating between what you're standing... You're saying you will stand in circumstances, but not all of them. And let's be clear about this, very clear. The notion of physically standing up is what you're objecting to.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I'd rather have a good sit.
Well,
good,
could
hard
you
sit.
Could, yes, well, you could sit for all of those rights, couldn't you? You could sit for gay rights. You could
well,
sit
I don't
for
want
women's
to.
Rights.
Well, what's that? That no, doesn't benefit me.
No, but if what I'm saying is, if it's standing that you don't like, why not sit for it?
Well, I hadn't really thought it through that much, you know.
Well, of course not. So let's...
let's bring on a different point of view.
Well, no, wait on the line for me, because I want to bring in Frederick, who's just been listening to you and has just called Talk Radio. Hi, Frederick.
Hi, John.
Hi there. Now, you're listening to Sedgefield there, who says that he doesn't like the notion of standing anymore. This is very much... And it's an old story. It's the old lobby, isn't it? So, oh, let's remove everybody's legs.
I know.
You're the pro-standing lobby. Why should we stay standing?
I was listening to Sedgefield. It's like listening to a witless troll scrabbling around in a bag of word marbles, desperately trying to form a coherent opinion, but only spilling his marbles everywhere in a sort of dribbling vocal pipe burst. That would embarrass
Gorilla. You say that as if you've never heard the show before. It's a common occurrence.
I've never heard the show before. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm
okay,
calling you live. I'm speaking
John's
to you now live.
In trade.
Frederick, let Frederick have his say. So go on, Frederick.
Exactly. Let me have my say. The comedian Noel Edmonds once famously stated, "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants, John."
Yes. Yeah.
Now, to this day, no one knows where he got the giants. But if he had...
It's a rumour, I know, but the theory is that Edmonds has an island in the Pacific Ocean, uncharted, where, like the island of Dr. Moreau in the H.G. Wells story, he breeds giants. Noel Edmonds breeds physical giants.
That's what I thought. He keeps them in a cave in a hill somewhere and feeds them on sandwiches. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm
glad you've actually brought that up. If I can make a point.
What are you talking about,
Sedgefield? Sedgefield, go on, make a point.
Well, I'm glad he's brought up this, because we know that John is actually standing on the shoulders of giants. For anyone who doesn't know, John's height helper dog is called Giants, and he stands on his back so that he can reach the studio controls or get his Tunnocks tea cakes in the shops. But I actually think that climbing on a dog's back isn't very funny, John, and running around like your Tom Thumb. Animal cruelty is no laughing matter. I think you shouldn't be allowed to stand on a dog.
Well, that's a bold statement, isn't it? There are a lot of people who voted in the election yesterday who think people should be allowed to stand on dogs, particularly if they're outside polling stations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a controversial point of view, but it's... And I'm not agreeing with it, but I'm saying that some people do believe that. Mainly the people who like fox hunting.
Yeah, well, it's just if we got rid of standing, you wouldn't be able to reach the radio controls. I think we'd all prefer that.
Well,
Okay,
you're talking about standing on legs, but what about people doing handstands, Sedgefield? Where do you stand on that? Where do you stand on it?
Mm. Let me say this.
Don't.
Go on,
let
you
me
say
this.
This.
Sedgefield, let me say this.
I'll let you. Okay, I'm going to let you. Go on.
Let me say this.
Say it.
Right. I'm going to say it. So, Sedgefield, without standing, there can be no understanding. So, where do you stand on understanding? And do you even understand what it means to stand on understanding, let alone standing understanding, which is the understanding of standing?
Sedgefield?
You lost me at Sedgefield. Can I...
And in reality, yes.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, another
final
point
now. Final
that has yet
me.
To be made.
Follow me, though.
Fine. Oh.
Follow me and calling up radio shows.
Well, we know that Stan Ding was that Chinese Yorkshireman, or Yorkie Chinaman, whatever you prefer, I don't care.
Yes.
He loved an Eccles cake with a Szechuan sauce, and he made a terracotta army out of lard. I don't care for him or Fred Dibner, and you can keep them.
I like him. I like Stan Ding. Every time he made a terracotta
and
warrior,
Fred Dibner,
he rang a bell. That's why they call him Stan Ding, because that was his thing, wasn't it? The ding noise.
Sorry, Hank, just, let me just stop you there. That's a good point.
We all know that.
Just wait a moment. Paid in some coins has just got in the background of a Sky News shot. Let me just very quickly dwell there on that, because it's interesting. Noel Edmonds, of course, the builder of the Giants, also has a terracotta army.
Made of lard.
Made of lard. Does he not? Yes or no?
He does. It's mechanically controlled by radio transmitters.
We're running out of time, I'm afraid. Let me ask you if you would to sum up the debate for me in one word. Word Sedgefield first.
Tunnocks.
Thank you. Frederick.
Operation Bumblebee.
Thank you. Must leave the debate.
Bumblebee.
Go away now.
Well,
we must leave the debate. Fade them out. Fade them out. We must leave the debate there because of time. In the next half an hour of the programme, we'll be bringing you live music, of course, as we like to do on a Friday. Normally we drag a busker off the streets. Today we've got someone in to sum up the extraordinary election circumstances musically. Mitch Benn will be joining us in the next half an hour to do that, back live in our studio. We're here on College Green. Joining with the debate, though, do we still need standing? A lot of talk of standing in elections, standing for Parliament and so on and so forth. But do we still need it in post-election Britain when we've got wafer thin ham and electronic signage? What do you think? Get in touch with us, 87222.
Start your message with the word
at
talk.
Talk Radio on
Twitter. Start your message anywhere you like.
I'm John Holmes. We're live from College Green. That is the Talk Radio Big Debate.
Talk Radio.
And now is Victoria with the news at 3:30.
Thanks, John. Theresa May says the Conservatives joining up with Northern Ireland's Democratic Unionists to form a government will ensure a successful Brexit deal.
Securing a new partnership with the EU, which guarantees our long-term prosperity. That's what people voted for last June. That's what we will deliver. Now let's get to work.
The election she called just over 7 weeks ago has resulted in a hung parliament instead of the stronger Tory majority she'd been hoping for. DUP leader Arlene Foster has confirmed she's held talks with the Prime Minister about maintaining a stable country.
Our United Kingdom and indeed our very way of life are under threats from extremists. Negotiations on our exit from the European Union are about to commence, and we now face uncertainty at Westminster.
Meanwhile, Labour, which had been written off by critics as all but unelectable, surged to 261 seats. That's up 29 from the 2015 election. Former London Mayor Ken Livingstone, who's currently suspended from the party, has told Talk Radio the result will see Labour finally uniting behind Jeremy Corbyn.
What this election's done has put Jeremy firmly in control of the party. And a lot of those embittered old Blairites who've spent the last 18 months undermining him have got to come to terms with that, and I think they will.
The SNP's lost 21 MPs, including party heavyweights Alex Salmond and Angus Robertson, after they both lost their seats. While the European Commission's president says he hopes Brexit negotiations won't be delayed, they're due to start in 10 days. But Jean-Claude Juncker says they're ready now and could open negotiations tomorrow morning at 9:30. The weather dry for most this evening, but rain will spread from the southwest, reaching most places by dawn. Lows of 10 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be breezy with some rain affecting many areas, warmer and brighter in the southeast with highs of 23. There's more in half an hour.
There's more now.
There is.
There's more now. Victoria, back in the studio where you are. We're down here live
Election
on College,
HQ.
College Green. Are we in Election HQ or is she in Election
I
HQ?
Don't know, but
okay. I think you are.
I think there should be one.
All right. Well, what there is, of course, is bonus news, Victoria.
There is bonus news.
Yes, as usual, Victoria's bulletin slightly shorter than they used to be. She has to make the time up because she gets paid the same. So what we are bringing you today is special bonus news. It's election bonus news, Victoria.
General election bonus news.
So these are the stories which I haven't been talking about all day. So a Westminster candidate cast her vote in the middle of her wedding day. So Saoirse Eastwood and her new husband, Dale Sherlow, stopped off at a polling station in Lisburn in Northern Ireland in full wedding get-up. They'd just tied the knot in a church nearby.
which is very lovely. So her in a wedding dress, and the photographers were like, "Oh, didn't expect to be doing wedding pictures today." Anyway, she. Thanks. She only
just polite laughter in the background for you there.
I appreciated it.
Okay.
She only secured 1.8% of the vote, failing to get elected. But at least she had something to celebrate, you know, her wedding.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So you can borrow that gazebo that we're sitting in. We only need it today, and then maybe again for the next general election next week. But if anybody gets in touch, by the way, and you want to borrow the Talk Radio gazebo for a wedding, Then you're going to 87222.
Start your message with the word
Talk Radio.
Start your message with any word you like.
Hashtag gazebo. Victoria, you got any more?
Yeah, I do. Saoirse wasn't even the most unusual candidate. Elmo stood. He only got 3 votes. And Mr. Fishfinger, who was in the same constituency as Tim Farron, the Lib Dem leader, and pulling faces behind Farron when he was giving speeches. But one of the ones who got the most attention was Lord Buckethead, who stood against the Prime Minister. And he looks
not physically against the Prime Minister, did he, at any point? When you say stood against her, he didn't.
No, he didn't touch her.
No,
I mean,
not like Jeremy Corbyn with Emily Thornberry's breast.
No, awkward moments in that respect.
Okay,
foreign people getting confused. What's this man doing?
Right.
So he describes himself as an intergalactic space lord. And
right.
If you want to imagine someone, he's wearing all black, he's got a cape, and his head is a bit like a chimney, so like an extended bucket. But 249 people voted for him in Maidenhead.
It's more like a bucket then, isn't it?
No, but it's really long.
I mean, he's called Buckethead, not Chimneyhead.
I know, but it doesn't.
So if you've gone, he's.
Yeah, he is called Buckethead, but his bucket's really long, and I've never seen a bucket that long before.
Have you not?
No.
You surprised me.
Well, you learn a lot of things on election day.
Bonus news.
Thank you, Victoria.
That's all right.
Great.
Cheers.
That's Victoria.
General election. Bonus news.
Bonus news. Bonus news.
Bonus news.
Bonus news.
Bonus news. Bonus news.
In the next bit of the programme, we will be bringing you live music. We will be bringing you Sam Delaney, who's, of course, broadcasting Drive from down here on College Green as well. Other stuff. We're going to take traffic and travel now, but we are Talk Radio.
No,
I'm John.
It's just a trail.
It's just a trail, is it?
Yeah, you're going to confuse everyone saying stuff like that.
All right. It's just a trail. Here it is.
Drive with Yasmin Khan on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I'm Yasmin Khan, and you can join me every Friday on Talk Radio from 4 p.m. with your essential one-stop guide to everything that's hot for the weekend. We'll tell you where to go and what to see.
Entertaining debate, big-name guests, and outspoken opinions.
Drive with Yasmin Khan this afternoon from 4
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. We're live from College Green. Now, a lot of people at College Green, the world's media are here, television cameras everywhere, commentators, reporters, all broadcasting around the world. It's a little media hub village. We're right in the middle of it. But what we haven't done, we've been stuck in a gazebo, is send paid intern Cornelius out and around the College Green in order to sort of find out what's going on. And I'll be honest with you, try to get into as many background shots of other people's broadcasts as he possibly can. We've done one with Sky News already. There's a man, Con, can you hear me? Con's on the telephone. I think he should be on the telephone now. Con, are you there? Hi, Cornelius. Can't quite hear Cornelius.
Oh, hello, John.
Oh, I got you. There we are. Hi, Con.
Hi.
I don't know whether you can see, there's a man talking to a camera over there. He's standing on an orange stool because he's not tall enough for the. Yeah, okay, because if you want to just walk into the background of that shot, I'm not sure which news agency it is, but as soon as you're in the background of the shot, I'll ring the Cornelius has walked into the background of someone else's shot bell. I wish I could tell you, and there he is.
I don't know who he is, but he's wearing jeans below as well. He's on two stools, actually. Very fun.
He is. Okay, now if tell us what else you can see. You're out and about in College Green. I mean, give us a sort of update on what's out there.
I've
just seen Andrew Neil walk past, for instance.
Oh, really? Where?
Well, he just went past that way, doesn't he?
There's a man holding a microphone there, doing a piece of camera just in the middle of the path who I'm just
walk
behind
past him.
Now.
I can see it. Yeah, there he is. He's got, what's on his microphone? There's another one.
Yeah.
Read what it says on his microphone.
OE24.TV.
There you go. If you want to tune into OE24.TV, whatever that is, Cornelius is now standing in the background of that shot live on concrete.
Okay. Just near the LBC tent, but I won't go near there, obviously.
LBC. Who's on air at LBC at the moment?
Someone I don't recognise.
Fine. Okay. They'd probably say the same about us.
It's Sheila.
Sheila Fogarty.
Five Live are there. Yeah, yeah.
Five Live there. Yeah. No point getting to the background of their shots, Cornelius. They're mostly radio.
Okay, yeah. Okay, what I'm doing now is I'm going to the other side, so you won't be able to see me now.
But, see you now.
Oh, hang on, I got stuck there. Oh, I almost just walked in front, like, literally onto a TV set. I've taken the wrong turn. No.
Several of those.
Oh, there's a man doing a piece to camera just behind me, doing that thing where he slowly walks forward to the camera.
Oh, good. What network is it?
I don't know. He hasn't got a mic cube on, unfortunately, but it looks very official. It looks a bit Tim Pot at the same time. Right, I'm now behind the big hitters. So if you've got a TV at home, have a look.
What channel?
Okay, right. I was about to walk into the green, but it would have been too obvious. BBC, hopefully.
BBC. Okay, BBC. Background BBC shot.
CNN. I'm definitely in the background of CNN right now.
There's the background bell. You're doing quite well so far, I would say.
CNN is definitely... Okay, so there's ones that are further up high, aren't there? Sort of the bigger stations. The BBC are on there now. I'm in the background there, just looking up there.
Okay. Good.
Who's that? Yeah,
this is quite a high. Yeah, you've done very
Sky
well.
Sky are off there. Sky aren't live from here at the moment. John, you should be able to see BBC on the TV next to you. Can you see me?
No, they're live in Canterbury at the moment, the BBC. So annoyingly, if you were in Canterbury, you could have got into the back of this shot. We were live in Canterbury earlier on, frankly, talking about the Canterbury upset in political terms. So it's interesting that they're just following our lead once again. There we are. Cornelius, we've got to go to traffic and travel. We've got all manner of things to do. So if you'd like to come back. That was Cornelius there, appearing live in the background of various shots here on College Green, which is where we are bringing you our election special. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. We've got live music next, as I say. I am John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
This June, if you test drive the Qashqai, Juke or X-Trail, Nissan will give you an extra £650 off. That's up to a massive £2,900 on a Qashqai at only 4.99% APR representative. Yes, Nissan will give you money off, just for test driving our best-selling crossover range. I know it sounds unlikely, but that's what it says here in this script. I haven't read it wrong. I'm a properly trained actor. I've done Shakespeare and telly and hundreds of voiceovers. Search Nissan offers if you don't believe me. Nissan. Innovation that excites. Nissan Finance. 4.99%. 9% APR representative. Offer excludes Vizier grade. Subject to status over 18s. Order and register before the 2nd of July from participating dealers only. T's and C's at nissan.co.uk.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Emmanuel received over £2,400 on her Barclaycard.
I had already attempted to claim back PPI, but with no success, so I wasn't hopeful when I first contacted Stanton Fisher. Needless to say, I was pleasantly surprised with the outcome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
At Homebase, we're all about low prices. That's why our charcoal barbecues start from just £9.97 and our gas barbecues from only £99.98. Homebase, always low prices.
Show your superhero how much you love him this Father's Day. At the perfume shop, we have some amazing offers on big brands like Boss Bottled Night 200ml for only £39.99. Visit us in-store or take advantage of our super fast delivery available online at theperfumeshop.com. The Perfume Shop, celebrating 25 years of scenting the high street. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in-store for details.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops a feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag refreshing stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Lancashire, we have one lane closed and slow traffic due to an accident on the M6 northbound. That's between junction 32 and junction 33. In Nottinghamshire, one lane closed, slow traffic there due to a broken down car. That's on the M1 northbound between junction 26 and junction 27. In Worcestershire, we have one lane closed, slow traffic due to an accident, a lorry and two vehicles involved. That's on the M42 northbound between junction 3 and junction 3A. And in Worcestershire, one lane closed due to a broken down vehicle on the M5 southbound between junction 5 and junction 6. I'm Sammy Jolo.
My thing, popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep four bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales in the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted four-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
Every weeknight from 10 p.m., take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Lee.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Ian Lee on air and off the leash.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night, 10 till 1. It's going to be awesome.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
He is our friend.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It is Talk Radio. It is the afternoons. And I... Yes, I've just checked. I am John Holmes. We've been talking a lot this afternoon to political commentators. We've had MPs on. Len McCluskey of the Unite Union joined us a while ago. Various Liberal Democrats, ex-Liberal Democrats, some Tories, some sitting Tory MPs. A lot of people all giving their spin, their opinion on the election. A lot of programmes doing much the same thing. But what those programmes haven't done is sum up the election, the 24 hours of extraordinary politics that's been happening at Westminster in musical form. That ends now, because that's exactly what we're going to be doing with Mitch Benn, who is back in the Talk Radio studio, standing there. Hi, Mitch.
Hello, Johnny.
How are you? All right?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. A bit sleep deprived. I can't even say it.
Deprived. Yeah,
I'm
well.
Sleep deprived. That's what I am. I'm so tired people. I've invented a word.
Were you up all night, Mitch?
Afraid I was. Yeah.
Did you do that? You put the whole stint in, did you?
It's kind of riveting, though, wasn't it? Is the train wreck to end all train wrecks? You just couldn't take your eyes off of it.
Well, I wasn't too bad, and I'll tell you for why. Because just as the exit poll happened, and then I gave it another couple of hours,
yeah.
And then there was a ferocious storm where I live, down
right.
In Canterbury. And when I say ferocious storm, I don't mean the ousting of Julian Brazier.
I was going to say.
Of Labour, yeah. For the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years. But an actual storm which took out both my internet and my satellite television.
Ah!
So I had no way of getting... So I just went to bed. So for me, it was...
This morning must have been a bit like the first episode of The Walking Dead. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Staggering out into the street. It's like, what's happened? You know?
But I know you've been not just watching it, Mitch, but also working hard musical pen to paper.
Yeah, I've come up with something. I was doing a gig last night. I was doing sort of a forget the election comedy gig. And the news about the exit poll broke during the interval. Talk about a game of two halves. Anyway.
Yeah.
Very different mood in part two. Anyway, this is what I come up with. Want to hear it? Here it comes anyway. What the hell just happened? What the hell's gone on? Fuzzwing town, nobody just won. After all the T's are dotted, after all the I's are crossed, Fuzzwing town, everyone just lost. Now Theresa May must sleaze away with fairly scary people to fashion something out of her own ruin. While Jeremy Corbyn stuts about like a dog with several tails, cause his ass got kicked instead of handed to him. Oh, what the hell just happened? The state of this estate, everyone both won and lost somehow. What the hell do we look like? What must the neighbours think? And seriously, what the hell do we do now?
Mitch Benn,
yeah.
Live for us on Talk Radio, summing up, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What the heck?
It's exactly the state and the mood. And even seasoned big hitters, Mitch, this afternoon we've had coming to the Talk Radio gazebo, all with that look on their faces going, well, no one was quite expecting that.
No, it's weird. It's weird how he had that one rogue YouGov poll a week ago and everyone and it absolutely nailed it. It's extraordinary.
We should be more surprised that a poll was right, I suppose.
Yes, that one poll was right. Yeah, absolutely.
Mitch, listen, thank you so much, Mitch. Obliged. Good Friday afternoon on this strange day. To almost finish, but not quite, because Sam Delaney's with you, carrying on live from College Green with us this afternoon, taking you through drive time, of course. He's here now. Hello, Sam Delaney. Look at the gazebo.
Talking of seasoned big hitters, here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Look at the lovely gazebo.
It's amazing. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it. It's Glastonbury for nerds here, isn't
That's
it?
What we said earlier. Yeah, and also it's better than LBC's, isn't it, this one? Have you seen their scratchy old tent?
It's a joke, they haven't got any brand. I mean, we're really, this is brazen.
Yeah.
This is easily the best tent here. I mean, it's not on stilts like Skye's is, but in terms of, you know, visual resonance, we're dominating.
As Cornelius pointed out earlier, it looks a bit like an army recruiting area, which you have with those sort of banners outside where people just come in. I mean, we've had several people in here trying to join the army.
No, the boss is from Talk Radio here, and they've actually hired four presenters from people passing.
Just like that.
People who lost seats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And there are a lot of them. So what are you doing? I mean, I'm going to get you talking about the election.
Who knows? We're starting off with Katie Perry, who I know is on Paul this morning, but we'll get her response
Every
to all the latest developments.
Every time he said that this morning, I was listening, I thought it was Katie Perry.
Yes.
It took me a long... Because you have to say it very carefully, or it's just Katie Perry.
We're hoping to get Katie Perry as well. But as yet, she's unconfirmed. Katie Perry will be here. She's got fantastic insight to the Prime Minister's personality and how she will be responding to all of this. Because, of course, she was head of communications till about the day before the election was called.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. We've got Sir Robert Worcester, a legendary pollster, coming here to tell us why, yet again, his industry got it wrong.
Yeah.
Although I've heard a rumour that he's going around claiming that he got it right.
Well, we were just talking then to Mitch about there was a YouGov poll a week ago that seemed to get it right.
Yes.
And, of course, the exit polls were broadly...
Well, the exit polls are usually right because they're just a very different sort of a poll, aren't they?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people saying it depends how you analyse these polls. I mean, they show every indication that just a small error could lead to a hung parliament. So he might have said something like that. But on the whole, he was betting on a 45-seat majority for the Tories. I told Christian Warmer, who's another one of our guests today, on Wednesday that I was going to have £100 at 4-1 on a hung parliament.
Yeah.
I forgot to lay that bet. But Christian Warmer is nevertheless bringing me a bottle of champagne to congratulate me on that prediction.
I'm calling it that now.
He's literally a champagne socialist.
He is, yeah. I don't drink, so I don't know what I'll do with that champagne.
Well, we'll take that.
Yeah. Okay, stick around then.
That's all right. I can't stick around, Sam, because I've got to go off and present Drive Time on Virgin Radio.
On Virgin?
Yeah.
From
I wonder how they'll be reacting
location.
To all of this.
I've got to get from here, College Green at the House of Parliament, back to Talk Radio in Hatfields in 1 minute.
In 1 minute?
Technically, yes.
That's really exciting.
No one's thought this through.
I bet you make it somehow.
I bet I do.
You should follow him with a camera and upload it onto our website. Although our website can't have video on it. But if it could, that would be a great piece of content.
I mean, what's been happening, I'll tell you what's been happening in case it happens to you. Just be prepared.
Right.
It's my advice to you. So we've been sitting here with a programme.
Yeah.
I mean, I said programme, it's sort of shambles.
Yeah,
but
that's good.
But what's been good about it is people like Hannah here. Hi, Hannah. Yeah, your producer, in fact.
She's my producer.
Has been helping us by
dragging...
cheating
on me?
She has. She really has, yeah.
Fair enough.
She's been dragging people in, just as she's seen them walk past. We've had Livingston in, obviously. I mean, he just circles the place.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, Len McCluskey. We've had all these people just coming in.
Goes up to people who are in the middle of interviews with other broadcasters and interrupts.
I know.
Which is fantastic.
She stole Len McCluskey off Panorama.
Yeah.
They were trying to get him to do an interview, and he came and did us instead. That's how good she is.
Yeah, we very much are the Millwall of the broadcast news industry. We're causing a lot of ruptures here on College Green, but I like that.
Do be careful, because they will drag anyone over. So we spent half an hour with a dustman, didn't we?
Yeah, because we didn't know who he was. No one did. So
everyone's got an opinion, so it doesn't really matter.
It's all good. We're out of the we're out of Purdah now, of course. We don't have to be balanced anymore.
Yeah.
And I know
we all say who we voted for.
So, well, if you wanted. But we had some jokes that we can't say during the
election
period.
Oh, you've got a stockpile.
Saving them up.
Yeah,
I mean, they're only half formed. Paul Nuttall kept confusing Leanne Wood's name. You remember that at the debate?
Yes.
So we couldn't say this at the time because he's joined the campaign. Because he struggles to put names to faces,
right.
Mainly because he tends to focus on people who wear burkas.
Aha. Is that the end of the joke?
That's the end of the joke. That was one of them we couldn't do.
Did you do this
Cornelius
together?
Cornelius has got these a joke. Jokes,
yeah, there's absolutely no point in voting for the Green Party, as that ballot would be a waste of paper and they won't like that.
Aha.
See?
That's good satire.
So, I mean, you can have any of these that you want for your show.
Oh, I could, these are up for grabs.
If you want.
Yeah, yeah. Try that top one.
Hannah, you know Hannah thinks that I'm... In fact, my whole production team, all of whom are female, which is great, I think, John.
Which is all of mine as well. Well, used to be.
Yeah.
They think I'm going through the male menopause.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that I keep cracking jokes which they deem to be lame.
Yes.
And sort of dad-like.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I am a kind of a middle-aged dad, but... if I start reading out these jokes, she's not going to be impressed, are you, Hannah?
Right. I've got another
one. Do you like any of these? No?
This
is political satire. Yeah. This is cutting-edge stuff.
I've got one for you.
Go on.
Theresa May, much like Paul Ross on that Maidenhead roundabout, went looking for a mandate. Unlike Paul Ross, she didn't get one.
That's not really a joke. I mean, yeah, it's quite funny.
It's a fact.
And it's made me feel awkward, but it's not a joke as such.
It's an absolute fact. All right, listen, we're nearly out of here. You're on next. Before we go, though, we should take some time to attribute to those we have lost during, the last 24 hours. It's Talk Radio in the Afternoons. We'll leave you with those we have lost. Nick Clegg, Liberal Democrat. Angus Robinson, SNP, Westminster. Sarah Olney, Liberal Democrat, Richmond. Paul Nuttall, UKIP, Boston and Skegness. Alex Salmond, SNP, Gordon. Ben Gummer, Tory, Ipswich. Julian Brazier, Tory, Canterbury. Gavin Barwell, Tory, Croydon Central. Jane Ellison, Tory, Battersea. Nicola Blackwood, Tory, Oxford, West and Abingdon. Victoria Borthwick, Tory, Kensington and Chelsea. Dr. Tanya Matthias, Tory, Twickenham. Those we have lost. That's it from us. Sander Laney's with you next. We'll be back on Monday on Talk Radio, 1 till 4. I'm now running within 1 minute to our sister station Virgin Radio to present Drive Time. If you'd like to download our podcast, which is an election special, you can. You can find it at talkradio.co.uk or iTunes. But that's it from us, live from College Green this afternoon. I'm John Holmes. You're listening to Talk Radio. Sam Delaney is next.
Election 2017, live on Talk Radio. Talk. We'll get you talking.